Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Rob and Akiva need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll buy or sell your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've gotten your fill. Every weekend, better attend. You can guess what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
Yes, that is right. Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, episode number 120. Back again to talk about Gen Z shows are trash. Maybe, maybe not. We're going to talk about three of them here today. We're going to talk about a number of different shows with three different guests. Of course, we'll get to our Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast mailbag. Lots of big stuff coming your way. Let's bring in the man who was not able to throw his team off the track when we invented a brand new game called The Schmuck last week. Here he is, Uncle Kiwi, Akiva Winokur.
Yeah, people have really been calling us A-hole and The Schmuck all week on social media.
Was that catching on?
It might be. It might be. I mean, you won a game where the winner basically got nothing other than to be called the title The Schmuck. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, maybe I should have thrown it.
You should have thrown it. You will never be the schmuck in my book.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yes.
Rob, you know, it's episode 120.
120.
And in Judaism, they say that's the longest you can live, because that's where how long Moses lived.
Hmm.
So can our podcast live to 121?
I mean, it's going to be a terrible week if it doesn't.
Yeah. That's true.
We have no plans on ending it. I mean,
yeah, I can't even imagine the things our first guest would have to say to get us so canceled. We can't even get the next week.
Okay. We'll find out. All right. So three shows that we're going to talk about. Akiva, do you know the names of the shows?
You mean, like, did I know them beforehand? Because I just watched the shows.
Well,
like,
I'm afraid of that. I know I can nail the names of two out of the three.
One of them is a hard name.
Yes.
Should we say them all now, or should we go one at a time?
They'll tell people up front. Give them an order, and then they can sort of like say, oh, okay, I'm going to skip to the mailbag.
Should I say the guest too?
What's that?
Should I say the guests also? Like, should I spoil the guest?
Yeah. This is up front. This is the, you know.
Okay. We're going to be honest with you.
Who's going to be here today?
Here's the schedule. First, we're going to watch iCarly with TikTok Nicole.
Wow.
Then we're going to watch Ned's Declassified Something or Other with Third Wheel Zach.
Okay. Now, we've already watched
that
show. We've already watched the show.
Yeah, we have watched the shows. And then we're going to close out with the person who came up with this idea, playing with house money from his stint as the soul musician on the musical episode of Robin Akiva Need a Musical, Jason Kurtzurveyor. We're going to watch Phineas and Ferb, a cartoon with him.
Okay. Three guests, three segments here today, and then the big Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast mailbag. How was your week, Akiva?
My week was pretty good. I heard you on a Jets podcast. That was fun. It was
I was asked to be on. I listened to a lot of daily.
How many? Tell them how many.
I listened to probably like five or six different New York Jets podcasts. One of them happens to be daily. I'm a patron of the same. I think it's sort of like the same podcast that only talks about the Jets. I started listening to a daily Mets podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
You listen to a lot of sports podcasts, yeah.
That's a lot of sports podcasts. They're mostly short. I mean, you're doing daily Jets and Mets podcasts.
That's more podcasts per week than the team has won over the last 2 years, I think.
Yeah. A lot of them are very short, like 20, 25 minutes, and I'm listening on like 1.7 speed. So it's like a good like...
Oh, you're a 1.7 guy.
Yeah, something like that. It's a good like, I'm going to brush my teeth. We'll put a podcast on. I can't be alone with my own thoughts.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've always said the same thing. I have become a full 1.5 guy. That's my speed. I think I can understand everything. If there's music, I'll slow down. But other than that, I'm fully 1.5 at this point.
Okay. All right. Well, let's bring in our guest before we lose too many listeners here with our podcast speed talk. And let's welcome in a woman who, of course, is a prolific TikToker, Is she in the Five Timers Club yet? If not, very soon, you would think. Mm-hmm. Also, she is a woman who has become my regular co-host on Robin's Podcast Patron Family Feud. Please welcome the great TikTok Nicole. TikTok Nicole, how are you?
Hey guys, feels great to be back. I feel like you couldn't do a Gen Z episode without the self-appointed Gen Z consultant for Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Nicole's the youngest person we know who we're not their parent.
I mean, some people would argue that you guys are my parents at this point. I'm creeping up on that five times hat, so.
Yeah. Nicole, I feel like that the Robin Akiva audience, I feel like that we have a lot of Gen Z listeners. Is that an overstatement?
I think that's a fair assessment. I think you guys have a big millennial contingency, but the Gen Z population is growing. They show out on my TikToks. They give me some great support. And hey, I feel like if there wasn't so much going on in the news back in November, that we could have really gotten Seeds Baby off the ground with the type of support we had going.
Bad timing. That was the issue.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk about iCarly, and we will hear about this one episode. What is the episode of iCarly that we'll talk
about? Wait, time out. Yeah. Time out, Rob. Okay, I think we have to start the shot clock. We got to tell everyone about the shot clock.
Okay, well, let's just then let Nicole tell us what episode we're going to talk about, just in case anybody wants to pause and watch the episode.
So this is season one, episode 8, I Spy a Mean Teacher. You'll see that all of the episodes of the show through all four seasons, I believe, they all start with that I, kind of an homage to iCarly, iPhone, that kind of mid-2000s tech culture that was starting to rise up in that time.
Okay. Since we are talking to all our Gen Z correspondents about Gen Z shows, Z is the 26th letter of the alphabet. We thought that would be a good thing to do to be able to spend 26 minutes talking about each of these three shows. I feel like that's like a good amount of time to be talking about each of these sitcoms, giving you a little bit of a variety pack here.
The fact that Z is 26, that's smart. Y'all are clever. I just thought you guys were trying
to. How many letters in the alphabet did you think there were? Because I know you knew Z was last.
How many do I think there were?
How many would you have guessed before right now?
Probably 25. I don't know.
Okay,
that's fair. Give us a bad name.
Now, that's fair. Over on 32 Fans, Chester famously had a bomb go off after 32 minutes. Yes. But I was wondering, Nicole, is there a certain Gen Z sound effect that we should play after 26 minutes?
Oh my gosh. Do you guys remember Vine? There was this trend that was going around right towards the middle of those eras.
We're not going to remember it, but I'm excited.
So this guy had a water bottle. He was in the school cafeteria. He goes, "This bitch empty, yeet." And that yeet noise has just been following me for years. It lives rent free in my head. So I feel like at the end of the 26 minutes, we should give it up with a little yeet.
Here, we're going to yeet you out of here.
Let's see if we can do this. Let's try it. Let's try this.
The trap door.
Is that the right one?
Of course. The smile on my face. I'm elated right now.
Okay.
It takes me back to 2015. Oh, love that.
Okay, so
that was eighth grade.
All right, so 26 minutes on the clock to talk about iCarly. And Nicole, let me just open up by saying that I really enjoyed listening to or watching iCarly. I had not ever been exposed to it, and I thought that this was a very fun show.
I mean, before there were Rob and Keeve, there were Sam and Carly. I mean, they were the blueprint. I loved the show growing up. It premiered in 2007, so right when I was in my late elementary school days. And I just thought Miranda Cosgrove, who came from Drake and Josh, I loved her. She was in School of Rock, famously. Shout out Mike White.
Are you a fan?
And they did. We love Miranda Cosgrove, though. She is great casting. She is the host of a web series with her best friend, Sam Puckett, and the neighbor across the hall is their tech producer, Freddie. Jerry Traynor, who is also, he played Crazy Steve in Drake and Josh. He plays Miranda Cosgrove, iCarly's older brother, who's also her guardian. Yeah. So no parents here. It's just unsupervised with Jerry Trainer who plays.
Yeah, well, I didn't get that, Rob. Did you I realized in this episode there weren't parents. I didn't know there are no parents in the show.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. But I think that we should just like back up and talk a little bit more big picture, because iCarly premieres in 2007. It is famously a web show that is produced on iCarly.com. Some would say it's like a podcast, but it is all visual. Now, does iCarly, who, you know, comes to prominence in 2007, this is right around the same time that YouTube really starts to break out. Nicole, over the run of the series, does iCarly shift to being a YouTuber?
So this is crazy. In the first episode, the way that iCarly like became a show, Sam and Carly were filming like the high school talent show auditions, and they were making funny commentary, and they uploaded those videos to a YouTube type site. I don't remember the name, but it probably was something like Splashface, something that sounded very familiar, the non-copyright approved. And people loved their commentary so much, they begged for more, and they created the show iCarly that premieres on a weekly basis, streamed live all over the world.
Okay. So iCarly runs for how many seasons?
I believe four. There's a movie in there at some point. They go to Japan.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it back also?
Yeah.
There is a sequel coming. Miranda Cosgrove will be there with the brother Spencer, played by Jerry Trainer, and Nathan Kress, who plays Freddie. But Sam and Gibby will be noticeably missing. Gibby isn't in this episode, but he becomes a main character in the second season.
Yeah, because my kids are watching a lot of SpongeBob. Shout out to SpongeBob, Matt. And we have the Nick app. And I see that iCarly is very prominently featured. And I was wondering, like, are they just re-showing the old episodes? Could you just, like, access this, stream it like The Office? Or are people making new iCarly episodes?
No, the revival's coming. They announced it back in December, but I can go back and watch these episodes anytime. Like, I feel like they kind of held up pretty well considering in 2007, I didn't know how well people were live streaming back then, but definitely holds up to today considering the media age we live in.
Yeah. Akiva, did you enjoy iCarly?
Yeah, I did. I liked it. I'll say a spoiler right now, more than the other two shows. It was my favorite of the three shows. Mm-hmm. It does hold up.
Big same.
It is like web 2.0 or whatever. They're starting like right before YouTube. I'm curious. I have a lot of questions about iCarly and Carly herself. Like, did they ever monetize it? I'm curious about that. You know, does she become a celebrity outside the school, or is she just like an in-school celebrity?
Oh, we can get into it. Spoiler alert.
Spoilers of iCarly series. Yes. Mm.
Yeah, anybody who's binging, you might want to pause until you finish. Yeah.
Yeah, she gets into a celebrity boxing match at one point. So she does become a major star.
Who does she box?
Victoria Justice. I don't know if she's a big name. She had a show called Victorious. She played like a fictional celebrity, but it was a crossover because she's like a big Nickelodeon celebrity at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, iCarly got fame. They had 500,000 viewers on the live stream that was in this episode that we're about to talk about.
Wow. The actual ratings of the real television show iCarly, not the webcast show within the show, was like a ludicrous hit, Rob. I'm looking at the ratings. They're like TV network numbers iCarly was doing. They're doing like 6 million an episode on Nickelodeon. Crazy. Mm-hmm. That's like, you know, only Game of Thrones is beating that on cable nowadays.
Yeah. I was very surprised to see Miss Briggs appear in iCarly, who I recognized as Frau Frauchesna from the Austin Powers series of films. Akiva, did you recognize her?
I knew that she was a that lady, but I didn't pick it up. But now it makes a lot of sense that she's Frau.
I never saw her in anything else. I was happy to see that she seemed like she went on to have a TV career on iCarly.
Is she the principal of the school?
She's a teacher, but she has a close relationship with the principal. This is Miss Briggs' third appearance in this first season, but this is her last appearance on the show. I felt like we had to highlight her because I feel like this was episode eight.
Yeah.
I know. I
feel like they wrote her out from the
series. Okay. She's just so good.
Okay. We should also add, Rob, we had the guests, I believe, pick all the shows. So we didn't do just like season 3, episode 7 or the pilot. We had them pick a show they'd like, because we figured if we're watching these shows, it may as well be a classic, or at least one that they're fond of.
Nicole, this episode that you asked us to watch, why did you have us watch this episode in particular, season 1, episode 8?
I mean, two words, Randy Jackson.
Yes.
I feel like that scene with the Randy Jackson memorabilia will live rent-free in my head.
That was so funny. That was so funny.
It was very funny.
The kids are trying to make a documentary about what teachers do in their off time, which I felt like that Akiva, kind of similar to the plot of the Boy Meets World episode that we watched, season 3, episode 7 of Boy Meets World.
Oh, that is
true. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they were filming Miss Briggs at her house, and then there's a bee. They run into the house to escape the bee, and they go and hide in her closet. And lo and behold, Miss Briggs turns out to be the world's biggest Randy Jackson stan and has a complete Randy Jackson museum in this giant walk-in closet.
It was literally a shrine. It was a shrine to Randy Jackson.
It was so funny.
Randios.
Yes.
We had the Randy Jackson cologne. It was incredible.
Akiva. We didn't get Randy Jackson himself, though. Yeah, I want to ask you, if you had a shrine in your house, and both of you can answer this, who would it be? I mean, other than Randy Jackson. Who would your shrine be to? Someone like stumbles into your house there. Hey, I wonder if podcasters, you know, have lives outside of podcasting. So I'm going to videotape Rob without his consent. I do like that they get off scot-free, like not to really yada yada the episode.
Yeah.
But they're in this teacher's house. They break in. They steal something. They're there videotaping her. And there is no punishment other than she's allowed to play like her bagpipes or whatever on.
Well, she's the leveraging the situation.
I know.
She's
gonna really, they could come back a month later and get her
on
fired.
The web show. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's culturing the youth. That's her ultimate goal.
See,
and she wins.
Like, I don't know if they could have gotten Randy Jackson, but like if they could have like gone one step further of that, the teacher, when she's a bagpipe player, when she catches the kids, that she basically like blackmails them, like, hey, you're going to be in trouble unless you let me play the bagpipes on iCarly, which then they let her do. If Randy Jackson turned out to be a viewer of iCarly.com and then spotted her as musical talent, I feel like that would have been the real like Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm, bring the whole story full circle.
Was he too big at the time?
Yeah, was he too big at 07? You could get Randy Jackson now, I think.
Yes, Randy Jackson, not too big now.
How much is he on Cameo, do we think?
No, so Randy Jackson, I don't know if you've heard me talk about this on any of the other podcasts, is with Jane Krakowski, also star of season 3, episode 7 of 30 Rock, which we've discussed. They are the hosts of Name That Tune, which is on Fox. And I really enjoy that show. Nicole and I, that's one of our favorites.
A $1,000 cameo, then. He's getting that bag. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were making so much money. I'm surprised even on Cameo, they were making so much money on Idol all those years.
Mm-hmm. But it's a great cameo from Randy Jackson. Like, yo, 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 dog. He's got the whole thing. Like, I bet that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I would pay plenty of money to have Randy Jackson say that I'm a hot one tonight. I feel like that's like my life's dream.
Akiva.
The Francine Briggs would just be buying cameos left and right.
Yeah, would you part with some of your plenty of money for a Randy Jackson cameo?
I was a Simon guy. I think I like Randy more than Paula, but less than Simon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go back to iCarly. I really felt like, Nicole, this, I know it's a show for kids, but I thought that this was very cleverly written.
It definitely was. I like the little bits about the pie. So Freddie goes to the AV department at the high school. He gets a green screen for the show, and he also gets a spy camera, which is in the shape of a comically large pie.
And Akiva's a big pie
giant
guy.
Lens on, yeah, mm-hmm. Big lens the on the can. Side. Comes with a giant fork. Yeah. And Sam says iconically, my Aunt Maggie's boobs are realer, and those are ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah,
I was like, oh, for the children.
Right. I know. This was on Nick.
What's the show rated, time? Nicole? Is it TV PG?
I feel like it's that weird TV7. Like they
said, TVY7? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Is suckish a curse word? I remember hearing that and being shook. I was like, is suckish a bad word?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you were watching this as the intended audience, Nicole, when this was on?
Yeah.
You were 7, but you weren't Y7. You were still allowed to watch.
Yeah. in the episode, so they have that giant cherry pie that's a spy cherry pie that has a camera in it and has a giant lens. Now, this has come up on the podcast. I mean, do you think that this is what's going on with this thing that Shut Up Tim sent me and I just can't find where the lens is?
There is for sure a camera in there.
You want to hold her? Yes. Please. Yeah. Then you got to try a little tenderness.
I think we could see the camera. It's in his forehead.
I was just about to say, yeah, you don't need to speculate.
Was this a spy shark? Yeah.
I think it's an accident that it plays stuff. You just sent a camera to your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Mike Myers was in Austin Powers with Ms. Briggs.
So it all
right. comes full circle. Yeah. So, Nicole, what was the cultural significance of iCarly?
So it comes after, it's one of those Dan Schneider shows that was right at the end of the aughts period. Is that what we call it? I guess we can call it the aughts. You had major celebrities like Miranda Cosgrove that have the name recognition from Drake and Josh. Just culture, that coupled with like the cultural zeitgeist, people were getting online. They thought the show was funny. It had that random humor. I don't know. I feel like a lot of people could see themselves as either a Carly or a Sam, or they could be the Freddy that's like in love with the girl that'll never love them back. But I just thought it was so fun, and it brings me back to a great place. And I love that random humor. Like, it isn't random in like the statistical sense, but they'll just be saying things and they'll pull them out of thin air, and it's funny just to be funny. Like going back to when they have the green screen pulled down and they have a guy eating corn. Like, that's not fundamentally funny, but as a 7-year-old, I was crying my eyes out laughing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was a lot of clever lines also, where, you know, they're talking about, you know, the Randy Yo's, was the cereal. I thought that was, very, very funny, when they're talking about, it's, Agent Nick Muffin calling up from the what was it? The FBM, calling about the counterfeit milk. I just thought that was all like a very like well-written dialogue.
Yeah, when Freddy steps on the blowpipe and damages like the something else, like, I don't know. It was just funny and quick. Good memories.
Yes, yes. She said that you've broken my blow stick and squeeze bag, Akiva.
Yeah. One of the things I like about these shows is that the adults are always so stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, the kids are, you know, like super smart and like, you know, precocious, and the adults are all like completely irredeemable, but also very dumb. Like, they could be tricked by, you know, the Federal Bureau of Dairy calling up and, you know, asking to see your milk.
Yeah. Just don't say what shelf it's on.
What is the story behind her parents? Like, are they dead? Like, how do we get into that ever? Bring it up, Rob. It's too sad.
No.
It's too sad.
So Carly's dad is in the military, so that's how they can afford like that gorgeous two-story apartment.
Sure. Everyone in the military is freaking loaded.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's like some sort of like special agent. That's why they end up going to Japan, because that's why he's stationed there. But Carly's mom famously never mentioned. There's one episode where Carly's uncle is very concerned because Spencer is like not on the right track. He's an artist, and that's, he's not going to make a good future of himself. He's a law school dropout turned artist. But I was always curious growing up, like, how, like, he makes sculptures for a living. Like, I don't know, like, he never really goes anywhere with the art talent, but it's always just something that's thrown in there that's what he does.
Are there no parents? Because the other two sort of lead kids that are leads, we didn't see their parents in this episode. Do they exist?
So Freddie lives across the hall. His mom is like a single parent, and we never hear about Sam's parents. She's kind of like assumed. Wait, Sam's mom comes in a special episode, and she's played by Jane Lynch.
Oh, wow. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Very full circle moment there. And she's like kind of the bad kid. She'll intimidate kids.
Why is it full circle?
Because she's here right now. Jane Lynch, welcome to the podcast. No, we have that.
Well, I'm thinking of Jane Krakowski.
Oh, okay. We've gone. Yeah, another Jane. Yeah.
Jane. Why is that? Is Jane Lynch your shrine person, Nicole? Is that why it's full circle?
Sue Sylvester is my shrine person. She told him like it is. No offense to the lovely people that talk about Glee, do a podcast about Glee, but I feel like, yeah, Sue Sylvester was misunderstood. Like, if my kids were running around the school trying to steal my funding, not winning any competitions, I'd be rightfully mad as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was my tangent, my Glee tangent.
Yeah, fair enough.
I will never get invited to the choir room. I'm so sorry, I'm on in that.
So, how did they wrap up iCarly?
No spoilers.
Yeah, I remember hysterically crying when this aired. It was in 2012. Carly goes to Japan to live with her dad, and the show just ends. I don't know. It was really sad. It felt like kind of a sudden ending.
She doesn't get like a TV deal or anything like that?
No, no. I really can't remember the specifics. I just remember being so devastated that the show was over.
Mm-hmm. Does she get like a big break really out of like putting on all these web shows?
No, you think she would get like some sort of Dunkin' Donuts drink like our girl Charli D'Amelio did. But no, Carly gets paid kind of dust. She just goes and continues her studies.
You know, she starts the show in 2007. It goes through 2012. I just am like wondering, did the show keep up with the times? Where I kind of feel like that's sort of like the early mid 2000s is when there were things like Rocket Boom. And I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but that was like, it's a live daily web broadcast. And then that even like predates YouTube. But I just wonder if like the idea of the streaming web show kept up with the times all the way through 2012, or if that idea was sort of archaic by the time the show wrapped up.
I feel like it was pretty representative of what was going on. Like, iCarly didn't really evolve, but it started out from the jump as Freddie being a 13-year-old tech whiz who can, like, do special effects and can live stream on a giant, like, camcorder. It's very impressive from the jump, but I feel like iCarly as a program doesn't evolve. Like, the show itself kind of stays the same, where they do their designated segments. Sometimes they'll do random dancing. They have a bra that tells ghost stories. Like, they'll do these segments, but they kind of stay the same.
Is it a bra that tells ghost stories?
Uh-oh. Yeah. Very spooky.
By the way, if Brian Cohen is listening, could you please tweet us with how much the bra that tells ghost stories would cost?
We're kind of cheap. Very Victoria's Secret vibes, that bra.
Nicole, so Freddie is very into Carly. Right. He even says during this episode that he's going to be her second husband, but don't ask what happened to the first one. Does he ever land Carly or no?
This is the plot twist of the century. He doesn't end up with Carly. He ends up with Sam.
Oh, my God. Mine's
consolation prize. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sam, but she can protect him with that butter sock. You know what we're talking about.
No,
I do not.
Oh, I didn't mention the butter sock.
No.
What's the butter sock?
To intimidate her classmates at school, she walks around with like hardened butter in a sock. And she wields it around and spins it. That's kind of
that's like every episode.
Yeah. Like a homie the clown.
Yeah. And I always wondered how the butter didn't melt. But no, the butter sock becomes like.
Maybe she keeps it in the freezer.
Hey, that's high maintenance. It's a high freezer bill if you're walking around with a portable freezer at all time to keep your butter.
Well, I think maybe if you had a stick of butter and you kept it in the freezer overnight and then took it to school, like I think that would stay reasonably hard. I mean, it's a different story if you get whacked with it at 8 a.m. versus 3 p.m.
Yeah, I'd hope it would be at 3 p.m., but yeah, definitely a creative choice of weapon. I wouldn't want to mess with somebody with a butter sock.
No, probably not. Okay, does iCarly ever have a love interest?
iCarly dates a couple of men throughout the years. I think there's like one episode where she kisses Freddie and then she gets hit by a bus and forgets all about it. So that kind of that's Freddie's shot with Carly out the window. She has a couple of guys here and there, but they seem kind of clout chasey, which is unfortunate. Considering Carly doesn't have a crazy amount of clout to be stolen, the one episode where she has a love interest, I believe the guy in question, he slept with stuffed animals and she was getting bad vibes from him.
Yeah. Nicole, if we were going to reboot iCarly, what's the format? Is iCarly a TikToker?
So iCarly starts out on TikTok. She gets big. She kind of gets the audience on the ground floor.
Yeah.
In the reboot, iCarly is just doing a little TikTok dance and she just blows up. Somebody finds her TikTok and then over time, she probably has a YouTube show. I feel like that's more, maybe she streams on Twitch. Is that the 2020, 2021 thing that the kids are doing these days?
Yeah.
I feel like I should know.
Yeah. So really, iCarly would not probably need the technical support staff that she has. Like, really, there'd be little use for Freddie.
Yeah, I feel like in 2020, like, I can do a green screen on TikTok. Like, half the time, like, I'm editing videos with such finesse on an app where I feel like Freddie is using, like, a computer on a giant setup and he has, like, a giant, like, old school 80s camcorder on his shoulder, like... I feel like Freddie is probably not getting paid enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I felt like that while the show didn't seem dated, I will say a lot of the transitions and effects on the show did feel like this was, from 40 years ago.
That's a fair assessment. I feel like it's a little corny with like the shot of them like zooming into the location we're going to. It felt kind of like Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. What'd you think of that, Akiva?
Of the green screen?
No, not the green screen, but just like a lot of like the like on camera like effects and like the next scene is loading.
Yeah, I think keeping with the tech theme of the show, I do like that. It's just a lot of stuff on the screen to keep the younger viewers interested. I like it. You know, makes the show a little bit unique. I wanted to ask Nicole. I guess really for both of us, like. In the episode, the principal, or I guess the teacher with a lot of power, gets herself onto iCarly as a pun, as sort of like payment for them breaking into her house so she doesn't get them in trouble. By the way, it must be nice. Like the show is sort of saying, break in your teacher's house, there'll be no consequences. Meanwhile, like the next weekend, 50 kids were in jail.
You think that was a lot of copycat crimes after this?
It was like when we were kids, there was always like, every week there would be like a WWE story, like these kids did this move and now their little brother's dead or something. I think there was probably a lot of copycats.
But jeez.
It's before your time. But what would sort of the Robin Akiva equivalent of like needing to give somebody airtime because we did something wrong that nobody wants to hear?
Let's see. I'm sure it's not that like we've broken into anybody's house, but maybe like we were overly critical of somebody and then to give them a mailbag to sort of make up for it.
Okay. Oh, like of a podcast or a listener?
Maybe like a listener or somebody that was appeared on the podcast.
Like as penance. All right. You can have the mailbag. We won't be there.
You get a thing on the wheel or something like that. I feel like it's happened before.
Yeah, probably we have done that. That might be this episode. Who knows?
Well, we shut up Tim's spy cam in that Shrek machine. Maybe it's happening right now and he'll be on the mailbag next week. He gets incriminating evidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me see. What else? We only have a couple of minutes left on iCarly. Did Nickelodeon or iCarly, the production, ever have any issues? Was Apple litigious about the iCarly branding?
So they really leaned into this. So when they would have computers, instead of them being like iMacs, they would be like an iPair or a Pear Pod. Like, so instead of an Apple, everything was pear shaped. Like they'd have iPads that were pear shaped and they kind of used that branding. And I feel like that's the non-brand way to bring it up to kind of keep everything consistent.
Mm-hmm. We do like a Where Are They Now? I'm curious because I've heard of Miranda Cosgrove, the star of iCarly, and I've heard of what's her name? Jeanette McCurdy, Sam, the second lead. What are they up to now, Nicole?
Yeah, I feel like she didn't have a big career, Miranda Cosgrove.
I feel like Miranda Cosgrove did her like post-Nick indie film kind of stint, similar to like what Josh Peck and Drake Bell did. I mean, she's coming back for the sequel. I feel like they're going to be paying her big bucks for that. Jeanette McCurdy, I know, had a music career. Nathan is married some beware, and Jerry Traynor is making TikToks.
Yeah. Nicole, if I wanted my kids to watch iCarly, should I have them watch the original series or should we wait it out for the revival?
I feel like season one, you have so many good episodes across the board. This is a fun one. I don't know if your kids are that familiar with the iconic three American Idol judges and we'll find the Randy Jackson stuff particularly entertaining. But I think there are a couple of gems and they can slide into my DMs if they want the scoop.
Yeah, I think I'd have to sell it as like, hey, this girl is a YouTuber. You guys like YouTube, right?
I mean, that's essentially what she is. She has. I feel bad for Sam, though. Sam, it's iCarly. What about Sam? Like, she needs to go.
The friend never gets the billing.
Damn, I'd be a little peeved if that was the case. You guys are robbing Keaton need a podcast.
Is she a full fledged co-host, Sam?
Yeah, she's there for every episode. That's the most insane part. Like, where is her billing?
Oh, so in an average episode of iCarly, not the TV show, but the actual web show, does iCarly come out and do like a monologue like Fallon and then goes and sits down at the desk and then talks to Sam? Or do they come out
Andy
together?
Is she Richter, Nicole? Yeah. Or is she like the co-lead?
No, when they so Freddie counts down from five, and when they get to one, that's when they start streaming, and they always start with "I'm Carly, I'm Sam." So Sam is always there. Yeah, justice for Sam.
Yeah, seems like a raw deal.
Yeah, that is rough. And I think she also sort of left Hollywood, right? Jeanette McCurdy, who played Sam.
Yeah, she did a couple of music gigs. She's on TikTok as well. I'll see you on her For You page. Give it a like for nostalgic purposes and move on with my day.
Yeah.
Miranda Cosgrove, Rob, Twitter followers. You want to guess the number?
I think it's probably pretty huge. I would guess.
She doesn't tweet, I'll say that.
Okay, but I think even still, I'd say 400,000.
7 million. All right, Carly was apparently very popular.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's something stupid. I think like Instagram is the same way. I was looking at Miranda the other day and I was like, damn, like 5 million people really want to know what she's still up to. But hey.
Yeah. Nicole, I think you said this right before we came on about how integral was iCarly in sort of the influencer generation.
Yeah, like if iCarly was still around today, Carly would have a Fashion Nova deal. You know, Sam would be selling Bang energy drinks. Like they were the proto influencers. Like they didn't really show a lot of them monetizing the show, kind of taking advantage of the fact that they have what they see, hundreds of thousands of people watching them every week. Like they don't really monetize it. But they kind of set the groundwork, and then you see Charli D'Amelio's of today thriving because of what Carly did in 2007.
Okay. All right.
Here we go.
Nicole, anything else? That's our time for iCarly.
I think they should be gone after that. I think that's if you know, there's no plugs after the yeet.
No, you have to let out. Okay, we're done. We're done with the iCarly. Akiva, did you have a question though?
I did, but now I can't ask till the sequel. It's over.
Okay. I think you can ask. It is it a good question? Or was it a filibuster?
Oh, that's a controversial topic this weekend. I don't know. No, I'm good. I'm good on iCarly. I could always ask our next guest iCarly questions if I have
one. And you got to let Nicole have in her plugs. She's part of the influencer generation. She's out there promoting Robin Akiva Need a Podcast on TikTok. We're only cutting off our nose despite our face if you don't give Nicole any plugs.
That's true. She literally promotes us. Also, Nicole, how's the foot doing?
It's good. I don't know if the viewers of Renapa know. I fell down the stairs in December. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, I was not drunk in the situation. Completely sober fall down the stairs.
And you broke it?
Tore my ACL, but like I told Rob, before we know it, I'll be up and walking again. And hey, in the meantime, I'll have plenty of time to binge iCarly before the revival.
Okay.
So you're not doing any TikTok dances right now?
No dances, but definitely if you hop on TikTok, you'll see me making some goops and some gabs at both of your expense.
Okay.
What's the difference between a goop and a gab?
Goofs and gabs. Goofs and gaffs? I don't know.
Goops like
Gwyneth Paltrow.
And I goop. Yeah. So, what is there a difference between a goof and a gab?
Not particularly. They're just both jokes.
Okay. All right.
And Nicole, this is not the mailbag.
You're not on gab.
Oh, no.
There's a different platform.
Different platform.
Okay.
Nicole, this isn't the mailbag, but did you hear last week we had a pitch that involved you, perhaps, of us learning about all the housewives, real or fake housewives? You're the housewives expert.
I love that I am known as the housewives expert as well. I would be very interested in doing this. I'll have to see if maybe Sabine would be interested in helping me crack some of those questions. Yes. But
and maybe Brian Cohen's mom.
Yeah, we got to get Brian Cohen's mom.
Yeah.
Do you watch every Real Housewives franchise, or just the local ones, or what?
No, I watch all the franchises.
Just sometimes the local ones.
Well, she's from New York. She's from New Jersey.
Is there anybody that does that? Well, I'll watch this season.
If I was from like Norfolk, where's the one in Virginia? I'd probably just watch that one.
I only follow the local Housewives teams. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a national Housewives person.
there's a lot of baseball fans like that, Rob.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not watching a Kansas City Royals game.
Yeah. The Real Housewives of New York are only on SNY, the regional sports network.
Ron, yes.
Gary, Keith, and Ron, baby. By the way, they should, the Real Housewives of New York, how many of them have been with Keith Hernandez? Probably all of them, without knowing anything about
them. Probably 40%. Yeah.
Yeah.
He is Keith Hernandez. Yeah.
Is she a housewife? I guess you guys are going to have to find out.
We'll find out. Okay. All right. Nicole is at Behind the Secret on all major social media platforms. Nicole, anything else?
No, just check me out on TikTok. I'll be there probably for the rest of my life. So you'll have plenty of time to tune in.
Nicole, what if they would have let people have email addresses at iCarly.com?
What do you mean? Like if I could be
behind the secret at iCarly.com?
Would you have rather that than Gmail?
I'll stick with Gmail. I don't know why I gotta be paying royalties to Carly like that. I'm just trying to like return my clothes to the store. Like, I don't need any iCarly affiliation.
What do you mean you're just trying to return your clothes to the store? That's the only reason you have an email address?
Clothes to the store?
Yeah.
Is that your main use of email, returning clothes to the store?
Yeah. Hey, what do you think I do all day?
Yeah, let's ask all of our Gen Z correspondents. What's your number one use for email?
Mm-hmm. Yes, returning clothes to the store.
All right.
E-receipt. I'm saving the environment.
All right.
Okay. Nicole, and you can walk there, right?
Yeah. Thank you so much, okay?
Of course, anytime.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, one segment down, and Akiva, it is time to talk about Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide.
And here, rolls off the tongue.
Here to talk about that with us, our great friend and co-host of Ang In There over on Post Show Recaps, Zach Muhammad is here. Zach, how are you?
I'm great. I'll be honest. Ned's one of my favorite shows as a kid, and I was kind of scared for the podcast.
Yes.
I'm talking to JCR is the mastermind behind this podcast. He's a professional. There was a lot of stuff I had to go through. First, CBS All Access, horrible app. It's bad because
shots fired. Soon to be Paramount Plus.
No. Yeah. Soon to be Paramount Plus, because for Canadians, if I was American, I would have all access to Ned's Declassified. I would pay just to watch Ned's. That's how much I love it. Okay. But for years, I could not find a stream to this Gen Z show I loved. So I'm excited to get into it.
We're going to talk about that. When we get into it, Zach, you will have 26 minutes. Z is the 26th letter. Or Zed, perfect, as you would call it.
September 26th, me and Akiva and Jenny on his birthday. Fun fact, Jenny Ottoman Phil, that's my favorite podcast 2020 or 2021, whatever year it is.
Oh, wow.
So far, like on the Rob Has a Podcast. I listen, I'm a lurker, but I'm a Rob Has a Podcast super fan. I'm a Renap. I listen right away. Mm-hmm. But for like some podcast.
Zach shot out of a cannon today.
I'm hot.
He's coming in hot off of net.
He came in before the show. Yes. We couldn't even. He's excited.
I mean,
I don't. You put a time cap on.
Jacob didn't crack all your knuckles before you came on, did he?
Yeah, that's true.
It's also when, like, I'll give Jacob more credit. He's more of an Avatar fan than me. So the thing with Jacob, he's the Mike Bloom. He's the guy with the energy. I'm like low energy. I'll come in with a quip here or there. But Jacob, like, Jacob's the Kobe Bryant on the average podcast. 81 points. He gets 79. I'm Smush Parker. I get 2. I'm having to be along for a ride.
Who's Jalen Rose in this scenario?
Jalen Rose, nobody. Okay. We're all the post-show recaps is the
haters. The haters. Yeah.
Josh Wiggler's Phil Jackson. There we go.
Yes, the Zen guru. Yeah. Okay.
Thanks. Perfect. There you go.
All right. Yeah. So we're going to get into all that. Everything going good, Zach?
Everything's going great. I want 3 minutes off the top with Ned's.
We'll tell you when your time is on the clock. You want me to start?
We're not on the clock yet.
I'm trying to warm up the guy. He's coming in red hot, Akiva.
No, I like that from Rob. I want that.
So that's 26 more minutes on Ned's. I got 2 minutes on Ned's.
I know Akiva might be down on Ned's, but one thing I want to mention to Akiva right now, this is before the time clock, I want to say this: if you did not like this episode of Ned's, then I'm not gonna say you're not cool, because you're a cool guy. I like your sport. Your Olympic Deadspin article, that's cool to me. I fucks with it. Part of my language, but I messed with it.
Mute it, Maddie.
But my point is, it's like everybody who I know that watched Ned's, especially the people my age, loved it. I personally never met a single person who didn't like Ned's. I've been watching it with my roommates. We bicker about every show. Watching a movie in this house sucks.
Zach, just for anybody who wants
to watch this episode, we'll get have it all in the show notes. What is the episode? Yes, what is the episode that people are we're going to talk about?
You have the name handy. It's season 2, episode 4, Notebooks and Math. Is that the name of the episode?
S2 E4. All right. Zach, we're going to load up your 26 minutes when you hear this sound. Okay, that's when you know their 26 minutes have expired. Okay.
And I want one more warning. And before, like, perfect. I got the sound.
We still haven't started yet.
No, I know. Okay. I know. One more warning.
Yeah.
With you guys probably have a lot of questions about Neds. Neds is a wild show. I mean, you watched the episode.
If this is about Neds, I think the clock has to start.
All right, sorry. 26 minutes is on the clock. All right. Take it away, Zach.
Okay. We're on the clock about Neds. Facts. So one thing I want to say about Neds, there's a character in this episode. His name is Albert. I forgot about Albert, to be honest. I mean, I remembered a lot of stuff, but Albert was one character I forgot about. Albert, he talks to the voice in his head. And that was the one, I just binged all of Ned's. I found a link for it through very legal means. I found a link on Monday on short notice. But anyways, so I did that and I binged in. Albert was a character that was off. I remembered almost all of it, even from watching it on basic Canadian cable 15 years ago. One thing I forgot was Albert. And the thing with him is, like, talks to a voice in his head. Nobody accepts it. But the good thing about Albert is, like, everybody accepts him. And the reason I wanted to highlight him is that while this is a storyline that may not have aged well, just this one episode storyline about Albert, why I wanted to talk about this is the cool thing about Ned's Declassified is weird is normal. That's like the way, if you're going to get anything from the show, it's just a show where it's like everything is normal. Like Cookie is like Urkel on steroids, and he may not be the weirdest character on the show. Like,
Zach, if I may just interject, I know this is your time, that I do think that you should try to frame this as that most of the audience that is maybe not does not even understand what the show is. So maybe if you could just like add in a little bit, like sort of like big picture context
right now
to somebody who might be very confused to what this show is.
So what is Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide? Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide is a show about a kid named Ned who has these tips to survive for school. That's the basic gist of the show. He's got two friends, Cookie and Moe's. Cookie, super computer nerd, Urkel on steroids, perfect description. Moe's is a tomboy, but everybody loves Moe's. It's like a recurring thing of the show. Even in this episode, I mean, Moe's dates the most popular guys. She'll end up with Ned by the end of the series, but that's like something you can kind of figure out from season one, episode one. But Moe's is like, everybody likes Moe's. Cookie and Ned, they like mess with everybody in the show, but they'll ride or die for Moe's. That's what these guys are like. So I shout out Moe's. She's a great character. And I think why the show is so good is because the writing aside, it's just the humor for me. I have a roommate. He's very critical of writing and stuff. For me, I just want to watch slapstick humor. I mean, those three characters are all amazing actors in real life and stuff. But when I watch Ned's Declassified, I just love the slapstick comedy. I love the bully banging a walnut on his head. I love the Russian woman in the projector because Ned's Declassified is like a satirized version of school growing up. So I feel like if you had a fun time in grade 7 and 9, middle school, you'll have a fun time watching Ned's. But because Ned's is so wild, it's a tough show to just jump into. It's like, this is it. Is this the best episode to show you guys? No, the best episode will probably be season
one.
Why
don't you pick it?
No, I picked it for a reason, but it's tough to yell for me on a 26 minute cap, my friend. I got a lot to say. I could talk about Ned's for 4 hours. My brain is 80% basketball, 20% Avatar, 10% Ned's. Yeah. That math didn't even make sense.
This is Zach's, eighth appearance on the podcast? I've never heard him like this before, Akiva.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's fair. And I mean, I'm
a reason, like, I shot out of a cannon.
I wanted to get this out of the way because I'm all over the place. I'm so passionate about Ned's. I had 10 pages of notes. And after a certain point, I was like, in 26 minutes.
I'm guessing you ripped them Hulk style like a few months ago.
Pretty much. I had a lot of notes. But I wanted to drop on the Albert bomb because he's not that big a part of the episode. But I myself suffer through mental health disorder. I have bipolar disorder. It's something I struggle with. It's not fun. But God bless this podcast because y'all are the nicest community. I wish I could just like block everybody on Twitter and just see tweets from like Chappelle and like Karen from Canada. The Rob has a podcast community.
Some people say that Twitter actually does actually block out everybody else's tweets if you just follow Chappelle. Yeah.
If you just follow Chappelle, it's mostly that anyway.
It's like an eclipse of all the other tweets. Yeah.
The reason I bring up those two particulars is because I saw Karen tweet. She was like, I want more people like Chappelle on my feed. And I saw that and I was like, same. I just I wish I could follow like a million.
Get carpal tunnels if there was two more.
true. You like too many. No, I know. See, I feel like Kirsten McInnes is a number one Chappelle fan. Akiva's number two. I'm like number three, four. Maybe AJ's number three. That's neither here nor there. Everybody loves Chappelle. This is a Ned's podcast, not a Chappelle podcast. Love you, man.
I mean, you don't want to rank the Chappelle fans?
Yeah,
not a Chappelle show. Season 3, episode 7. Y'all can do that. Akiva likes that show. But basically, I know you'll have a lot of
news for you if you want to watch season 3, episode 7 of Chappelle show.
Zach. Why, it didn't go past season three?
No, the Chappelle.
You know, like six episodes, yeah. All right. But we're on the clock for Ned, Akiva.
Okay, no, it's fine. I'd rather talk about
Chappelle. No, that's fine. So with Ned, there's going to be so many questions because it's not a show. You can just jump into one episode. Mm-hmm. So see me, I'm not competing with TikTok Nicole or JCR. Any questions? Rob, run through the plot in 20 minutes. You could do that. You're a good improviser.
Here's the thing, Zach, to speak to your point, I was so confused and so lost that we came into this and I don't know who Ned is, what's going on. That from my perspective,
what's it classified? Ned, why did they name it this? Where did the show air?
Ned is a student. We never in this episode follow Ned outside of school. You have no idea what his home life is like.
He doesn't have one. That's the appeal to Ned's and why I was like, F it. I like this episode. It's like a good, because the thing with Albert, I liked it because they all accept him. Whereas in Degrassi, let's say, I hate Degrassi because like every mentally ill kid is just like kicked on. Like growing up, it didn't feel, when I grew up, like kids with mental health issues, we kind of embraced them. We thought they were lovable, weird. So I don't know. That's why if I'm comparing, I watch both those kids as a young person, but to me, Ned's classified.
And Drake, from State Farm. He was in Degrassi, right?
Oh, I hated that commercial. I'm not even going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. But F the Super Bowl commercials. But that's
Akiva,
not
what do you think? I thought Progressive needs to respond with Flo Rida from Progressive.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Flo Rida from Progressive. Yeah, I actually missed that commercial.
Basically, I understand your guys' point. It's a very confusing show. For me, I don't look at Ned's. I don't analyze the writing. There's no home life. Cookie's mom throughout the show is on his phone, and the only thing you hear from her is like the Charlie Brown music. There's no parent as a character. The only adults in the show are teachers.
I read on the Wikipedia, Zach, that until later, much later in the series, you there's never a scene, even in like the schoolyard. Like it's indoors in the school.
That's what I mean, because like I don't want to frame this as a like me versus Nicole versus JCR thing. Let me know what you liked and disliked.
That's what it is. We are deciding which.
No. We're hearing about three different shows. We're not saying which was the best Gen Z show.
If you want to do that and you think Ned's is the worst, I don't care. I love you guys regardless of what you think. You're gonna get. I tweeted a GIF of Coconut Head. I got 70 likes.
No, here's what your challenge is.
How many likes did you get, Nicole, for tweeting freaking
More, but my point is, like, somebody like Mike Bloom, I respect Mike Bloom's opinion on TV. Mm-hmm. Mike Bloom's tweeted, I mean, it's cool being on the Rahab Network. I've been following Mike Bloom for years. He doesn't usually reply to me, but he's like, oh, I love Ned's. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Okay. Mike Bloom loves Ned's stuff.
Zach, here's what the challenge is. Can you help us understand, like, we understand what you like about it. Can you tell us, for people who are not going to binge watch all of Ned's Declassified Survival School Guide, why is this an important show?
For me, it was important because it was just a perfect encapsulation of school as a whole. There was no other school, because I'm Canadian. We don't have middle school in Canada, but I could still relate to so many of the themes. If you're just
One to eight?
Yeah, 1 to 8, and then 8 to 12. Okay. Correct, Akiva. Your education
He's
background.
He's a quarter Canadian.
No. I know Akiva's a smart guy. Don't get me wrong. I ain't hated. But yeah, basically, so Canada, we didn't have that yet. I could still relate because some of the themes are like omnipresent. Like sometimes there'll be a plot, I'll be like, oh, you take your notes. The thing with Ned's, and like, it's like, oh, okay, that's like the framing of the episode between with Ned's tips. Because that's the main thing. Ned's always breaking the fourth wall. And I feel like the writing has aged well, because besides it's like one mentally ill kid, what I was shocked about is like they make risque jokes. They told the line a lot. But I'm very impressed by the writing in my old age, because I've been watching it. I binged it, but I'll watch random episodes with my roommates here or there. Yeah. And like I said, we argue about everything. We all love, if you know, you know, with Ned's. If you like it, you like it. If you never watched it, you won't like it, basically.
Rob,
yes.
I wanted to know, actually, because the other two shows we're watching, the first one and the last one, all started in 07. This show actually ended in 07, started in 04. So is this really a Gen Z show, or is it like a late millennial show,
Zach? It's a late millennial
show. And are you Gen Z, or are you a very young millennial?
I'm very glad you asked this, Akiva, because I just want to touch on this. So this is a good question. For me, this is a late millennial show. Somebody tweeted that at me as well. That's true. This is a late millennial show. But you give me a top opportunity, I'm not going to have a full-length Ned's podcast. Yeah. I'm lucky enough to have an Avatar one. So give me 20 minutes with Ned. I'll tell you what I like about it. But it is a technically late millennial show. But I was bouncing off Even Stevens was the other one I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But JCR was like, that's too millennial. At least some Gen Zs will have seen this. And that's fair. Okay. From JCR's part. So we chose Neds because at least my little brother, he's 18, he's Gen Z, he's seen Neds. So okay. There we go.
Zach, was this presented, it was aired on Nickelodeon like iCarly. Yes. Was this presented to kids as like, hey, Ned is going to teach you how to get through school? Because that I think the thing that I did like was I feel like that Ned did have some useful study tips.
Yes, the study tips are useful, but to me, it was more so like the study tips are common sense. Like I always felt like, especially watching it on this binge watch, it's like they'll write the episode and they'll just write whatever study tip fits the plot of the episode. So you're right. That's the appeal to it for like parents. A parent can see that and be like, oh, it's a very good show to just sit like a 10 to 15 year old in front of. I feel like the slapstick humor, the mile a minute jokes, because that's the thing with Ned's, like in every episode, there's like, I wanted to get into the Russian teacher of it all. That's one of the more fun plot lines because she's in the introduction, she's in the theme, so yeah, that's what I wanted to get into there, like a lot of stuff. But yeah, there's so many good things with Ned's, but I can see you guys are a little, it's a lot. Ned's is a
it was
lot
a, it was a lot. Akiva, that the main female protagonist Mose, I thought she seemed like she was like 10 years older than Ned.
Do you know, do we have a real like, age
is Ned's mom at the school?
I don't have a age check. I think they were all close in age, though, because they have scenes where Ned and Mose kiss, so they can't be that far apart, right? Basically, that's a recurring... Because they fall... Spoiler alert, they fall in love at the end of the series, but that's a season one, episode one, like, thing they set up, and I didn't know if I wanted to come in here and show you the premiere of Ned's. In hindsight, maybe I should have done that. But hey, I mean, Ned's one of those shows you kind of have to watch in full, because recurring jokes are such a big part of Ned's.
Yeah.
I think that's an appeal. Everybody who watches it kind of has some joke they love in it, so that's kind of like,
so just say a little quick age check. Mose is born May 10, 1989, and Ned is born March 1991, so she's like 2 years older than him.
I kind of figured Ned was just short, to be honest.
Now, if you were like a guy in eighth grade kissing girl 2 years older, that would be crazy. But
True. But like, I have a question for y'all, because it's tough to jump into Ned's. What did you not like? Like, let me know. We're on the clock. Okay. But tell me what you hated. So, what you hated about? And I'll
here's something that really confused me. Okay, Ned is working to steal a notebook. There's like a Mission Impossible type heist. There is a grown up who helps Ned with these
What's the name of this grown up? Is it Sweeney? Is it the teacher?
Who is this person? Who is this person who then also, like, is he trying to invent like rocket jet skis in the second part of this episode?
Are you talking about the older gentleman?
Yeah, there's like a David Putty esque character who
Rob, I don't know who David Putty is.
I'm that's not fine.
Sorry, but
he has an eight ball jacket. Yeah.
What another thing about Ned's Declassified, the teachers have so much personality. Like Cookie is probably the most personality of any character in the show. Like the way that actor can contort like the muscles in his face. I can't even do any of the stuff physical comedy he does. But with these teachers like Mr. Sweeney, Vice Principal Krubs, who I think is featured, this Russian teacher lady, they're all recurring characters and they're all such a big part of the show. Like it's almost like their personality is just the plot of every episode, because I feel like one thing Ned's does well defines the personality of every character very early on, but I feel like the early episodes are kind of worse. I think season two is higher quality. I think you would be more confused.
Yeah, I showed think you Gordy is the person that I'm talking about.
Oh, Gordy, you're talking about the janitor. Well, the reason I want to talk about Gordy is amazing with the weasel. That's just a funny recurring gag that everybody loves, and I think they do a
good. Can you describe the weasel recurring gag?
Yeah, so basically, Gordy's just trying to capture this weasel. That's pretty much it. I feel like Ned's, it's a tough show to podcast about because it's not meant to be overanalyzed. Essentially, what it is just slapstick comedy for children. But for me, that's just right up my alley, so I love it. Because I never, if I'm being honest, some of the other shows you do, you guys dig deep into the plots, even of these kids' shows. But Ned's, it's not a show meant to have the plot. Like, you don't sink your teeth into this plot. You sink your teeth into the comedy. So did some jokes hit or miss for you? Did they all miss? That's what it seems like from the reaction I'm getting. Did you laugh once watching these episodes? If you said no, it's fine, but I'm just kind of curious.
Like, I don't remember laughing. At any point? I don't remember not laughing.
Nothing made you crack a smile, not a single time? Because that's what's surprising. Like, to be honest,
I think that we were just more confused than
So like rapid fire, it was hard. To know what happened.
And that's the thing with Neds. It's very, I kind of like it because I like Eric Andre. Eric Andre is kind of like a 2020 or more. The humor is very absurdist, but it's very quick. I love like the mile a minute humor because Neds, how I always describe it. This is how guy on Twitter, what was his name? Giovanni. He's a big rap like tweeter. He described Neds as like a very cartoonish show. That's a perfect description. Neds probably is the most cartoonish live action show I've ever seen. Because I podcast about Avatar. Avatar's on my Mount Rushmore of kids shows. After this rewatch, Ned's has joined that on the Mount
Rushmore. You rewatched the whole series, Zach.
Yes.
How many eps, Zach?
60 in 3 days. Wow. Not something I usually do, but hey, wow. I wanted, like I said, I don't know if this podcast is going great, but I wanted to come and prepare.
It's going great.
You rewatched all series for the podcast?
Yes. Because the thing is,
that's what you're supposed to do. Wait, hold on. Nicole, get it back on here. You did not watch all of iCarly. Get out of here. You didn't watch the whole iCarly.
I'm not
disrespect.
Listen, I'm not going to crap on Nicole because I kind of have
please
to.
Don't.
Because the recurring jokes are such a big part of Ned's. Mm-hmm. I liked this episode when I was a kid, but I was like, I got to watch the whole series.
You did it for you more than you did it for us.
Yes. Okay.
Well, exactly. I appreciate the work, honestly. I'll say this. JCR's coming on in a few minutes to talk about Phineas and Ferb. If he didn't watch all like 700 episodes, he's out. We're not even doing it.
Give his time to Zach. Yeah.
Shout out JCR, because I was going to do Even Stevens, but he was the one. Even Stevens, I think, had an episode you would have enjoyed more. Mm. Even Stevens, in my opinion, you guys would have liked Even Stevens more. Shia LaBeouf is great, but Even Stevens is, to me,
a bad time to do a Shia LaBeouf episode, I think.
Of course. And Ned's is better than Even Stevens, in my opinion.
The actor who plays Ned. All right, are we a fan of Devin Werkheiser?
He's cool. I mean, he did an AMA. I didn't really get anything great for the podcast from the AMA. He had said he was a virgin throughout filming because that was the most upvoted question. And he said he lost his virginity after the show. That was the only funny thing from the AMA besides that. I mean, the thing with Ned's, every kid kind of has a good life afterwards. Moe's went on to star in some ABC show. Cookie glowed up. He's a model now, apparently. Hey. So. Yeah, look him up. Cookie. I mean, he's handsome. He's got the glasses, but I mean, Cookie, even in early season one, his afro was nice. Mm-hmm. I was not as nerdy as Cookie, but as a black kid with glasses growing up, I was jealous of Cookie's afro. It's always picked clean. He's got the metal pick in shots. Like, I got to give Cookie credit.
Cookie some credit.
I'll be honest, growing up, I didn't like getting compared to Cookie. I thought it was like, it's like you're black and you wear glasses. Ha ha, hilarious. You get it a lot.
Well known enough that you were compared to him?
Yes, because in Canada, I think everyone had Family Channel, which is Family Channel, basically, LTLDR. It had all the Disney shows, but for some reason, it also had Ned's. That was the only Nickelodeon show on Family Channel. So a lot of people in my age group are familiar with Ned's in Canada. So that's the kind of cool part about it.
Zach, can you tell us, what is Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide best known for? Like, what were its contributions to the popular culture? Was it Coconut Head?
Coconut Head is probably the biggest one. He is the most popular recurring character by far. He's probably my third favorite character in the whole show.
And he's a character that has a haircut that is like a bowl haircut that looks like a coconut?
In Ned's Declassified, characters are usually defined by just the most basic personality trait, but I think it makes the show better because they do so much with those shows while keeping these characters very simple. There's a recurring kid, because the issue with Ned's, I had to watch the whole series because there's no information on it. No YouTube clips, no nothing. It was watch the whole series, and I didn't have CBS All Access or Bust, so I was kind of scrambling. That's why I wanted to do Avatar, not because I'm trying to be lazy. I wanted to do the episode we're doing this week, tomorrow, with Fifth Wheel Navi Ball. I wanted to, because I thought that's a better Avatar episode than the one Jacob wanted to do, and that's on Netflix. I wish Ned's was on Netflix, because I would have just watched, you know what I mean? Like, we're just binged it there, so.
Okay. Is the coconut boy, coconut head, the gif that you shared, is that the most well-known gif from...
No. I couldn't think of a funny thing to tweet, so I tweeted. I was like, this is the worst tweet ever. They got 70 likes, so I was kind of just shocked by that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like Ned's for a lot of different reasons, and I couldn't find all those reasons before the podcast. I mean, I read all the replies to the tweet and stuff, but at the end of the day, I like it because of the slapstick humor. My roommate, he's more of a like pretentious dork than I am. He kind of liked the writing of it, the adult, the jokes that like, it's one of those shows as a parent you could watch with your kid and be like, oh, I kind of understand that. Whereas a show like SpongeBob, which is a universally beloved show, I don't know if parents necessarily love like SpongeBob, whereas Ned's is a more palatable show for a parent, and both of you guys are parents, so yeah.
Shout out to us. Did you, you know, there's twins in this episode. I'm not sure if they're like recurring characters.
No, and I want to, it's so tough because there's so much I want to talk about. I like the twins because they're like Albert's friends. They're always associated with Albert. And that's kind of cool. You have like a mentally ill kid and he's actually got homies in the case of these twins. And every recurring character in the show, they do a plot line. So the twins are a small part of this episode, but they do a bigger plot line.
Did either of you guys have twins in your school? Like, did you ever have friends or acquaintances who were twins, Rob?
Yes, I did. Or
identical twins?
Identical is even funnier. Like, these girls are identical twins, but yeah, regular twins.
I mean, I'm friends with Natalie and Nadia.
Oh, that's true, but they were not in your school growing up. But yeah, school. That's true.
Yeah. No.
That is true. Did you ever want to be a twin when you were younger?
I mean, not really. That's not a thought I ever had.
Oh, I always thought it would be cool. The other thing, like in the first part of this episode, there's, you know, they steal a notebook or whatever, or they're trying to use it to their
advantage. Golden notebook. Yes, yes.
Rob, did you ever have any like good, and Zach also, like cheating or stealing note stories from when you're from your school days?
Not that
I'll
I can
Rob
recall.
Handle this one.
No.
Okay.
So I know, for I feel me, like Akiva has a lot.
I've told a lot on the Seinfeld podcast. I'm not going to retell them all now. My favorite one is the student. My friend in high school who paid the other math teacher, not our math teacher, stole a copy of our upcoming math test, paid the teacher to tutor him because we didn't know the answers, and handed in the math test with the other teacher's handwriting and answers on the test and got 100.
Damn. Well, for me, what was it? I cheated on a lot of tests, but I never like, I don't know. For me, tests were kind of easy in general. I just never did any homework in school. So the reason I say this is because I got like 60% in every course. I didn't get no scholarships ever high school. I was a loser. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of regret not doing the homework, but shout out to all the teachers who passed me while I did no homework throughout grade 12. Because that's the thing with Ned's, all the teachers like cool, and even Gordy the Jander, they're all cool and relatable characters. And I think it's like one of those shows where you watch it and you're like, oh, I kind of had a relatable experience like that in school. So that's the appeal to a lot of people. But for me, if I'm being honest, it's more so the slapstick comedy. I love Loomer the bully because he's not really a bully. He's more chaotic good, and then Cookie is more chaotic neutral. So yeah.
Could you explain what was going on? So in the second part of this episode,
there's two separate.
Yeah, there's two separate episodes. The first part of the episode was all about notebooks. And so Moe's ends up coming across like a burn book of like all the gossip from the school. Who was writing all of these mean things about these students at the school?
Nobody knows. That's the twist at the
end. Is it ever revealed in the last episode?
No, it's not. Because the thing is, they'll just pick random jokes to return to, but most of the time, that's like a one episode plot. So while there was a million recurring jokes in the episode, nah, they don't call back to that. It was just some random kid from 10 years earlier. So.
Akiva, that's any like when question? Somebody goes on the Renap subreddit and like anonymously says like a bunch of mean stuff.
The Pern book? No, yeah. Nobody should do that.
The same idea.
Also, what else? I wanted to go
we
a little
like
more
it
rapid
either way.
Fire.
Yeah.
Tell me what you guys disliked or liked about the show. Like, hit me with what you felt passionate. Did you passionately hate it?
We thought the kid was miscast. We thought a better lead character, and we would have liked the show more. By the really, way, Devin Werkheiser. Current Twitter followers, Rob. You want to guess?
I don't know. Well, if iCarly is any indication, probably there's a lot of Ned stands that are out there. So I'll say, I'll give the same 400,000.
57,000.
Okay.
Has he done anything since then, Zach?
No. You guys are right. Okay, I'll give you guys credit. Devin Werkheiser is probably the worst actor in the series. I think Daniel Curtis Lee, and I forget the actress who plays Moe's, they're the Shaq and Tim Duncan co-all-star MVPs of the, if I'm, they're not necessarily my favorite characters,
Ned.
But Moe's and Cookie are carrying Ned. If you watch the show, it's a fact. But Ned's not bad. They write Ned as interesting. I like what they do with the Ned and Moe's ship. It's like they were just destined to be from episode one. And I feel like, Let's say I'll compare it to Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Jake and Amy, I think I stopped watching when they got together because the episodes became too much about the relationships.
So also,
I like how Ned wrote the Moe's and Ned of it all.
Zach, Ned is a bad name for a character.
I think the whole title is the only reason I don't recommend the show to people. There's an anime I really like called Samurai Champloo. It's a 10 out of 10 anime. Horrible title. Because Ned Declassified School, I feel like the show is so much more than his guide. And when you see the title, it almost like implies that, oh, it's just about this kid and his guide. It's so much more than that. I mean, there's an episode where like Cookie's a sports agent and like is doing some volleyball. Like he's represented Moe's. He's going full Cookie Maguire. I mean, these plots go all over the place. It's like I said, it's the most cartoonish live action show ever. So that's kind of why I came like a shot. I came like I was shot out of a cannon because like the writers of this show, I don't know. Maybe I like, maybe I'm just on one, I suppose.
Yeah.
But just like they were when they wrote this stuff. Because every episode is wild. You guys, if you were lost with this episode, I'm sorry to say you would have been lost with every episode because there was no perfect episode to pick for the podcast.
Yeah. Zach, could you tell us, is there some sort of a trope or thing that is from Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide that ends up being copied in a lot of other shows?
No, because a lot of their jokes are references to other things. Like, what I mean by that is, like, they have a Looney Tunes reference, even this episode with Gordy and the Weasel. It's a lot of callback to Looney Tunes. They do Scooby-Doo callbacks in other episodes. So what's cool about it is, like, it's a community in a way. And though, after this rewatch, I think if Community ended in season three, it would be better than Ned's. But Ned's in three seasons, in my opinion, is a bet. I prefer it. Sorry, Jess Sterling and Josh Wigler. I prefer Ned's over Community. My hot take after watching it, at least I could put it on for just my subjective overranking because I know that's not a consensus opinion. But I mean, Ned's, I love it. I love absurdist humor. It's not a show for everyone. And it's like one of those like cracked out. It is like Looney Tunes in a way. The mile a minute joke. We'll call it there. I could go on for 2 hours about Ned's, but I hope able to shine. John, a little light on why, because people love Ned's and everybody has a different reason for loving it. I just got my own.
Zach, caramel covered apples with nuts to celebrate a job well done to you.
Thank you, Zach. No problem. So I wish I had a little more time to talk Ned's, but who knows? One of these days, maybe me and Jacob will move on from
Is
Avatar
Jacob as into that. Ned's as much as you are?
I don't know because I didn't talk to him about. I haven't talked to him this week yet, but we're geared up for a big Avatar podcast. But I'm not sure. He messaged me. He was like, "Oh, I love that show. I'm excited to hear you talk about
it." Maybe
you
could do a bonus episode in the Avatar podcast for you.
Bonus.
I don't know if this podcast went amazing. I don't know what Jacob would be like. Oh wow, I'm so happy you talked about Ned's. But I'm going to be like, Jacob.
What if you put it in Ned's minute at the end of every Avatar episode,
or in between seasons? Yeah, there's lots of ideas. I feel like that you're wasting all these great Ned's takes on us.
No, facts. I mean, like, I'm passionate about a very few things. Basketball, you give me a microphone, I could literally talk about basketball for like 12 hours. That's my main passion. That's why I wanted to ask this on the pre-show, Akiva. I got to pick your brain about fantasy, but we'll do that off show.
How many Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide books have you read, Zach?
None, but I just finished.
You could write Jackson. One.
I'd rather write a book about basketball than a
oral
book about
history
Ned's,
of Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide.
On my current list of interests, it's like one basketball, two Avatar The Last Airbender, three Ned's. And basketball is a distant first, and we'll put Ned's third because it's been a Ned's week in my house. My roommates all loved it. I'm glad because like it was.
Wait,
like,
did you make them watch all 60 episodes with you, Zach?
Oh, I just picked and chose episodes they liked, and they had different recurring characters. Like for me, I didn't want to talk about this on the podcast. This character I like, he's like this fat, light skin. He's in this episode.
Yeah, we're still on the podcast.
True. I know that. But then the reason I say this is because I'm an asshole. I'm an a-hole like Akiva. I kind of refer to this kid as fat. He's my favorite character in the whole show, but I didn't know his name. I had to do so much research just to find this kid's name because he's part of every plot line, but they don't even refer to him by name. And I looked it up at Stu. They don't even call him Stu in the show. I had to like go on this Wikipedia page with typos. So I had to do a lot of research on Ned's for a 20-minute podcast.
Well, we appreciate it, Zach. It was worth while.
I mean, at least Kazam, I just had to watch a 2-hour podcast. And that Kazam, I enjoyed.
No, it wasn't that long. It wasn't 2 hours.
No. I mean, I just had to watch a 2-hour film, so I'm happy about that. Ned's, I watched. Oh, more than 2 hours, but hey, two fucking 20, oh, pardon my lecture, 20 hours for,
sorry, Maddie,
20 hours for, to great show like Ned's. I don't mind wasting 20 hours. Oh, Maddie, if you're editing this, I am so sorry for all the cuss words.
I think he was apologizing to Maddie, the, sixth grader. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, Maddie.
Maddie the editor. Maddie the sixth grader.
Oh, I was apologizing to Maddie the editor for leaving out the F words.
No, we could leave him in.
I notice you guys don't care about no words except the F word, which is cool. I just noticed that listening to y'all, so that's dope.
I feel like that's really the worst of them. I mean, I agree, there are other words that are worse, but I feel like that they tend not to hear them on the podcast.
Right. I mean, up on the podcast, though.
Yeah.
I can say bastard on a podcast. No one cares.
You could say bastard.
I know. I mean, I was a horrible podcaster episode.
I don't even think bastard is one of George Carlin's seven words. Is it, Rob?
No, it's not.
But you can say bastard on television.
You could say bastard as much as you want.
I sadly know Carlin's seven words, and I try to avoid them on podcasts. So there we go. But yeah, great. I mean, I love Ned's. I don't know if y'all love Ned's, but give it 5 episodes. Maybe you'll like it a little more. Just watch 5 random episodes. I think you'll enjoy it.
Should Ned's declassified school survival guide replace SCOM as something that if Keeve and I have to be punished?
See, I'd enjoy if you guys podcast about Ned's, but maybe I'm not doing the show justice. Maybe get like a Felipe, somebody who's a better orator than myself.
Maybe they
don't sell yourself short.
I'm not selling myself short. I feel like I sold Ned's short because for me, I just came on to stump for Ned, and I feel like I failed in that.
I call it NDSSG.
Resonated with
that's what us in the know call it, NDSSG.
what's
a better name for the show, like a one or two word name, and then maybe it would be a bigger hit.
I don't know, because Ned is such a horrible name.
How about school rules?
That's good. That's a little rolls off the tongue a little more, because I feel like this show is so much. It's like even the TV show Arthur. I always thought Arthur was, it's another children's show, it's millennial, but I thought it was so much more than Arthur. I like Buster, like Brain.
Even it's so, like a, I feel like, yeah, How to Survive Middle School.
Yeah, that's a better title. No, I agree. I F with both y'all's suggestions there. So
yeah, even Middle School Survival Guide. I feel like that's
that's a better title.
Declassified? There's a lot going on. Who's Ned?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I agree, because I feel like the title, it's like I knew you guys would hone in on the title, but I feel like who cares? The title's bad, but the rest of the show amazing. So
okay, that's send it to Robin Q. Need a PR firm. All right. Third Wheel, Zach Muhammad. You could listen to him on the Avatar, The Last Airbender Rewatch, Aang in there. Also, you could follow him on Twitter. He's at Zach Muhammad 32. He is tweeting pictures of Coconut Head.
Yeah, I mean, I don't tweet too much. I'm like Team AJ in that regard. And I don't know, I'm not a big tweeter myself, but hey, I like the Rob as a, I like to once in a while reply to something I see that I enjoy. But shout out the Rob as a podcast community on Twitter. Y'all are homies, so follow me at Zach Muhammad 32. Shout out Kiva for fixing my Twitter handle. My old one was bad. He like roasted me on my first episode with bad internet. Zach Muhammad 32, much better Twitter handle. So shout out Uncle Kiwi for that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
There we go.
All right. Zach, anything else?
Yeah, I mean, Fifth Wheel Navi, she's coming on for Aang in there. I want to highlight that because that's the best episode or my personal favorite Avatar. We're recording about that tomorrow. So I'm going to be shot out of a cannon like that, too. Though that episode, I will deviate to my notes.
I'm worried about you.
No, I'm good. I love Ned's. I'm very passionate about it. And I kind of had a feeling y'all wouldn't match the passion, but that's life, right? Like, I don't know to be honest, I'm very curious. I didn't listen. I watched the Randy Jackson episode. It was my favorite episode of iCarly. Oh. I haven't heard Nicole's response. I didn't watch it myself. I didn't.
She hated it.
Oh, she hated it. Oh, my bad.
No, I know.
I'm kidding too. But yeah, no need to worry. I'm good. Bring on JCR. Let's do it up. I'll chill in the background. Right. You know me.
All right, so in our next segment, we're going to hear about Phineas and Ferb with Jason Curtis Rivera. All right, so we are going to talk about Phineas and Ferb, a animated series which premiered in 2010, and we are here with the man who has organized all things Gen Z shows are trash. The man who put together this panel, and of course, the creator of the critically acclaimed Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, the musical. Here is Jason Curtis Rivera.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing? So happy to be here talking about my generation and our kid shows that are very much trash.
Yeah. No, not trash. Not trash. Treasure.
Trash or treasure.
Maybe the show should be Gen Z shows are trash? Question mark.
Ooh, yeah, you could make it that. You could put in a question mark there.
Yes. Okay.
There's a lot going on behind Jason, Rob. First of all, Jason, when we start, there's going to be 26 minutes. We have a hard shot clock. Because Gen Z, 26 letters, so we have a hard shot clock for 26 minutes. We haven't started talking about PNF, as those of us in the know call it. So we got
obviously
six Among Us Avi guys in the background.
Yeah. So yes.
Akiva is describing Jason's Zoom room.
Yeah. So I was going to wait till the end, but since you brought it up, I stream on Twitch. So I've just decorated my background.
Okay.
So there's what some Pokemon. Stream? I do mostly Pokemon stuff.
Like when you say Pokemon stuff, what do? You like go through your cards?
So I'm doing Pokemon Red, doing a whole playthrough of Pokemon Red, and I'm doing all the Pokemon games, and then I also do Pokemon Go every day. And so yeah, there. And then I also
do you ever toss Pokeballs on Twitch?
Yeah, you get on Pokemon Go, you throw some balls. I do some battles, have some fun.
I think you should set up like a basketball hoop and see how many Pokeballs you can. And maybe Third Wheel Zach could come on and coach you on your form of like it's like shooting free throws to hit all those Pokemonsters.
Yeah. Anytime, Zach.
Yeah. What advice would Shaq give for hitting a free throw with a Pokeball?
I think Shaq's best advice for basketball is be 12 feet tall.
I didn't know if you guys were trying to summon me, but I'm here. Zach is gone. Shaq is back. Zach is not impressed with his podcast performance. He dropped a dud. Unlike me, I get 60 point triple doubles. That's what I do.
I wonder if Shaq ever had a triple double.
Okay. He's had a triple double, no quadruple. I'll hop out. Sorry, Jason.
Okay. All right. So Jason, so we're going to put 26 minutes on the clock for you to talk about Phineas and Ferb, that Z, Gen Z, 26 letter in the alphabet. So 26 minutes will go on the clock. When the time expires, you will hear this sound. And that means that it's time to wrap it up because we got to get to the mailbag.
Okay. All right. Wonderful sound.
All right.
But I guess it's not a wonderful sound because it means I can't talk about my favorite show, Phineas and Ferb anymore.
All right. Well,
favorite show.
Yeah. That's the bad news. The good news is you can start talking about it now for 26 minutes.
All right. So let's get started. Phineas and Ferb, the episode I had you guys watch was, the circus episode and the toy episode. So it's called Jerk des Soleil and Toy to the World.
Mm-hmm. What's the season and episode number for that?
I believe it's 1-8.
Oh, just like iCarly.
Yeah, there was some, depending synergy. On where you're watching it, iCarly is not always 1-8. But yeah, Phineas and Ferb 1-8.
What do you mean depends where you watch it? It's not always us.
They all have different numbers. Yeah.
You're cutting into my time. Sorry. Netflix, it was 1-6, and then IMDb and Wikipedia, it was 1-8.
If you don't want to answer a question because it's going to take 26 minutes, just say pass, Your Honor.
No, it's fine. So yeah, Phineas and Ferb.
Yes.
How'd you like it? Overall,
let's explain to the
just give us the plot. Yeah.
Plot of Phineas and Ferb. Okay, two brothers, stepbrothers, named Phineas and Ferb, and they have a summer, and they're on summer vacation, and they don't want to waste their summer vacation. They don't want to be bored all day, and so they try to make all 104 days of summer vacation as great as they can be. And so they get into big, wacky, wild, zany adventures. They're very talented craftsmen, and they make, the first episode is they build a roller coaster, so they do all these crazy things that two children should not be able to do, but they do them. And then they're joined by their friends, and they help them in their adventures. All the while they're being their sister, so Phineas's sister, and then Ferb's stepsister Candace is trying to bust them. So Candace is trying to tell her mom that, Phineas and Ferb, they're getting into their wild, crazy, dangerous shenanigans. Candace wants to bust her brothers, but every day when mom comes home, the mess is always cleaned up. And so that's sort of the A plot of every episode. And then the B plot of every episode is that Phineas and Ferb have a pet platypus, as one would have. And his name is Perry. And to Phineas and Ferb and Candace and the family, Perry is just, he's just a platypus and he doesn't do much. But secretly, he is a secret agent. And he has an evil nemesis named Dr. Doofenshmirtz. And Dr. Doofenshmirtz is trying to take over the tri-state area. And every day, Perry the platypus.
Just the tri-state area?
I mean, it depends on the you know, the plot that he has, but he's very tri-state area focused. And so every day, Perry the platypus, aka Agent P, he goes to you know, his boss, Major Monogram, and he gets his assignment of what Doofenshmirtz is up to, and he goes and he busts Doofenshmirtz's plan. And very often Doofenshmirtz's plan getting, you know, thwarted by Perry is what makes Phineas and Ferb's big crazy thing that they built go away. So they're usually tied together in the end. And we always end on, you know, the Phineas and Ferb's adventure is done, their project is over, and they're just hanging out in the backyard. Mom comes home and Candace is mad that, you know, they were once again not busted. So that's very formulaic for, you know, I feel like most kids shows do try to follow a formula. So very formulaic. And then at a certain point, like pretty early in season two, they like really, really start messing with the formula and like breaking their own formula. And so that's what's really fun, especially later into season, into the seasons of Phineas and Ferb. But I wanted to start you out on something a little more. Classic.
Yeah, it is very specific, right, Rob? It's like they every day, and this, I thought the theme song is excellent because it explains exactly what the show is.
Oh, see, I tuned out a little bit during the theme song. I didn't really.
You know what? It's like there's 104 days of summer vacation, and Phineas and Ferb are these stepbrothers, and they're going to be having an adventure today. Really, two, because like Ned's, we
should
just
we listen
about it,
to the theme song?
Let's play it.
Yeah, Bowling for Soup. Bowling for Soup is the performers of the theme song.
Jason, would you remember if this was in the theme song bracket or not?
Ooh,
it definitely was not.
I don't think it was.
Maybe it'll make it to the sequel that's coming next month.
All three shows, I think, have very good theme songs that we've talked about today.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Here's the Phineas and Ferb theme song.
There's 104 days of summer vacation, and school comes along just to end it. So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it.
Like maybe
building a rocket or fighting a mummy or climbing up the Eiffel Tower. Discovering something that doesn't exist or giving a monkey a shower. Surfing tidal waves, creating nanobots, or locating Frankenstein's brain.
It's over here.
Finding a dodo bird, painting a continent, or driving our sister insane. As you can see, there's a whole lot of stuff to do before school starts this fall.
Come on, Barry.
So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all. So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all.
Making a title sequence.
Okay, so it was a bop.
It was a bop. That's a good song.
And it it explains everything.
Yeah, the sister is evil and she's out to rat on them, but she literally every single episode is not able to make the simple phone call or take one picture and show to her mom that would bring the whole house down.
And the sister seems like very thirsty.
Yeah, so she has a longtime crush on Jeremy. So that gets played out. We get it more in the, I guess we get it in both episodes. She's in love with Jeremy, and
do they ever get together? Spoiler alert.
I think in the end, I'm sure they do. There's like they like become teenagers. Like Phineas and Ferb become teenagers in the end.
Oh, they age.
They like jump forward at some point.
Flash
that
forward.
Stuff, honestly, the very end is a little hazy to me.
So does summer vacation ever end? Is it one summer vacation or are they back
one season,
the next,
one like, summer, the whole show?
Yeah.
I think one summer is the whole show. I feel like I'm going to get dragged if I'm wrong, but Yeah.
And is it 104 episodes for 104 days?
No. Okay. That would be perfect. There's also like Summer Vacation is not, I guess it's 104 days is like a little over 3 months, right? Does that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like my kids are still in summer vacation from last year.
I mean, yeah, so my kids haven't been to school in about 11 months, so relatable. So I feel like that the two parts of the show, there's Phineas and Ferb, and there is Perry the Platypus. Jason, there was one part of the show that I liked considerably more than the other. Could you guess which part I enjoyed and which part I did not care for?
Oh, I think you would have liked. Oh, I think you would have liked the Perry the Platypus stuff more.
Akiva, what do you think?
No, of course not. He likes the regular part of the show, but the Perry the Platypus is a little too wacky.
I get
why people probably love it, but I think it probably takes time to get
into. I hate the platypus. Get it? Who cares about the platypus?
Everyone cares about the platypus.
No,
Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
He's
Rob,
terrible.
You're not feeling Dr.
Yeah.
The
who
kids
cares?
Ever meet Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
I'm here for. I'm like. Wait. Hold on. Is the platypus Phineas or Ferb? Oh wait. He's neither. Why are we spending half the show with the damn platypus?
11 minutes every episode, and half of them we're not seeing Phineas or Ferb. Yeah. By the way, Step Brothers.
No, it doesn't even talk.
Step Brothers who live together.
To be perfectly fair, I don't think this is peak Perry the Platypus, Dr. Doof. Like Doofenshmirtz is really fun. I think the best part of those plot lines are like we get like deep into Doofenshmirtz like background and why he's trying to take over the tri-state area and all of his plans are awful, right? I mean, we see it in this episode, like. His voice is too high.
The voicinator.
So instead of making his own, you know, using his evil science to make his voice deeper, he's going to make everyone's voice high. I think it is who cares about this? This is dumb. That makes it fun.
Mm-hmm.
Do the kids ever meet Doofenshmirtz?
So there is a couple like, I don't know if they're, I guess probably they're Disney Channel original movies, but there's the Disney Channel original movie that's like Phineas and Ferb. Like 2D, they like there's like time travel involved, but in that story, they like all the characters interact and have to like save the world. Because I think what happens is like Candace busts Phineas and Ferb, and because of that, like Doofenshmirtz ends up taking over the tri-state area and then the world. So then like they have to like time travel, and then they all team up, and Perry's there, and Phineas and Ferb are there, and it's lots of fun.
Jason, why'd you pick this episode?
I wanted to find an episode that was not breaking the formula because you didn't know the formula. And then, it was just like trying to find one of these earlier episodes that I think had a good balance of all the things. I feel like you kind of like got all of the little like running gags that they do, or at least as many as I could fit. And I feel like the songs, it's just something we haven't hit on. I feel like the Evil Boys song is like a bop that slaps.
Is that well known?
They write original songs. Do they do it for every episode?
Yeah, so every episode has at least an original song. Every episode has.
Can you explain the setup for the song that you're referencing?
Yeah, so Evil Boys, so in the circus episode, they. We learn that Candace has a very severe wild parsnips allergy, and it makes her voice all deep and her face all splotchy. And so, and then we also find out that Phineas and Ferb and Candace's mom, as well as Jeremy's mom, and I think that's it. So they're in a band playing like a blues gig. And then Candace goes to bust. Her brother goes to her mom, and they're playing this like blues song. And she takes the microphone and sings the song about all of the things that her brothers are doing that, you know, really, really grinds her gears. And a very like classic blues song. But she like has this like deep, raspy voice. That's fun. And of all the things she says in the song are things that are episodes. So, like, all the lyrics are true.
Okay, they are previous. It's only season one, episode eight. This is all things that have happened in the first seven episodes.
All things that have happened in the first seven episodes.
She's not calling her shot on things that will happen in future episodes.
No, but that would be fun if she. I mean, you know,
if she was a writer,
they can do whatever they want. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you like the song?
Yeah, the song was good.
The song was fun. I enjoyed the song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like a real, blues riff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was fine.
Very good.
It was fine. Which half of the episode, between the circus and then with making the toys, did you think was more emblematic of Phineas and Ferb?
I think more often they're like building a thing. So I think the circus episode, they like made a circus tent and like put on a show. And that is the thing that like Doofenshmirtz's creation like made go away. So I feel like that's probably a little more emblematic than like more like in the second episode, it's more of like they performed an activity of becoming these like toy salesmen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the first episode is more emblematic of the Phineas and Ferb format.
Yeah. Jason, where did Phineas and Ferb air on the Disney Channel?
Disney Channel, yes.
Yeah. Was it a primetime show or is this like daytime programming?
I mean, with all of these like kids and networks, when I don't know, it's different now because streaming, but like they premiered primetime, but it's really all they aired, right? Like Disney Channel wasn't like going like, all right, we're going to have our The View in the afternoon. So it was just these shows were just on always, but I think they premiered in like a primetime slot, but they were just always on.
Jason, is there a catchphrase from Phineas and Ferb that we would recognize even if we were not fans of the show?
I mean, there's like a million catchphrases. That's what's
teach
I think
us some.
So, what you doing?
Ferbed.
So Isabella, she's like the black hair, the Phineas and Ferb's friend.
Isabella with the black hair.
I don't think we got it in either of these episodes, but she very often will come by and she has like a big crush on Phineas. So it's always like a what you doing? And so that is repeated a lot, what you doing, which I believe is the title of Felipe's Phineas and Ferb rewatch podcast of what you doing.
Okay, should me and Akiva try that?
Yeah, hit some people with some what you doing. Every time someone comes on as a guest.
Yeah.
What you doing? Yeah, we definitely got in this episode, in these episodes, the curse you Perry the platypus, which is what Doofenshmirtz always says.
Curse you Perry the platypus.
Curse you Perry the platypus.
And people use that a lot in conversation.
Every day.
Yeah.
You don't use that every day? I use it pretty much every day. Very often, adults will be around Phineas and Ferb's creation. And we got it this episode with the toys. But they subverted it. So the CEO of the toy company asked, aren't you two a little young to be blank, 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 like whatever they're doing? And it's usually, yes, we are. But because they were doing toys, they said, no, we're not. So that's something that gets used a lot. I mean, there's it because it's so formulaic, right? They really do, you know, hit a lot of the same thing.
Yeah. Is there a well-known GIF from Phineas and Ferb that we might see used often on social media?
Oh, that's an interesting thought. So let me get on Twitter and just look up the first Phineas and Ferb GIF. Because I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
While Jason looks it up, I'm curious. So they're step siblings. Is that ever like a plot point? Like, hey, your mom, my dad, like anything like that? Does that come up or they usually get along?
They usually get along, right? They're like best friends. And Ferb doesn't talk. That's like a whole thing. Like he has like a line per episode.
What? It's like a Penn and Teller.
Yeah, yeah. And there are a lot of online theories that I believe have been like all the creators have said that it's not true. But I don't think we ever meet like Phineas's dad or Ferb's mom. So there's a lot of people that theorize that Linda, who is Phineas's mom, doesn't have like that triangular head that Phineas has. And the only other person we ever meet with this like triangular shaped head is Doofenshmirtz. So a lot of people think that Doofenshmirtz is Phineas and Candace's father.
Is that touched on in the finale?
No, I think the creators put the kibosh on that. They vehemently deny. Yeah, there's a couple of like gifts that I've seen. There's like a Doofenshmirtz dancing gif that I've definitely seen a couple times.
And what would be the occasion you would use that? If you were happy?
Yeah, if you're like doing a little happy dance.
Mm-hmm.
There's also like I've seen Isabella's What You Doin'. But yeah, maybe we should go through, create some gifts, get some good Ferb gifts going.
So first of all, I read somewhere this is one of the few episodes where Ferb like talks more than Phineas.
Ferb does talk a bunch in the toy episode. He has like three or four lines, and it's very often usually just one. He has like one line, usually right at the end, and it's like. It's like he just comes in with a good solid punchline, and that's all we get from Ferb.
Mm-hmm. I like in the second episode, Rob and JCR, that they go to the mall with their mom to check out their sister works in a toy store, and by the end of the episode, it appears canonically, and I don't know what's real and what's in the platypus universe, they have invented the world's most popular toy and also quit their job at the toy factory.
That's canon. Yeah, they do a lot of crazy things in one afternoon. That's like the whole point of the show.
But they never monetize them because that and their mom would catch it. Their mom would like catch
them. And I don't think they have any desire. And it is a plot point that like, and we get this at the end of the circus episode, right? Where mom and dad come back and they're like, "Mom, you missed our circus." Like they very genuinely don't think they're doing anything wrong,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But the sister never successfully snitches on them.
Never. I think like I said, in that TV movie that I believe gets like time travel undone.
So they make a circus in the first episode and they build like the world's most popular toy in the second episode. Rob, are you a circus guy?
No, definitely not.
Have you ever been to the circus?
I don't like clowns. You know, the animals.
What about high-flying acts?
Doesn't impress me much. acrobatics. Cotton candy. Yeah. Not a fan.
Literally
nothing for me at the circus.
Wait, we're not gonna hate on cotton candy in this.
It's not good, it's bad. We are gonna hate on cotton candy here.
It's sugar. How do you not like it? It's literally just sweet goodness.
Here are the list of better forms of sugar than cotton candy. Every form of sugar.
Everything else,
cotton candy.
Yeah. That's fair. But every form of sugar is good. Every form of sugar is good, though.
This is rare that Uncle Kiwi and I are on the same page with hating on a particular food item.
I think I've mentioned before, my grandparents once took to the circus, and my grandma had those veins on her leg, and they popped. That's also how she passed. And then, we had to leave the circus because she was like bleeding profusely. It was very disturbing. We had to like leave the circus when I was a little kid. Wow. That was the last time I was at the circus. Wow. And now the circuses are gone. And so is my grandma.
Yeah. Wow. This was a real downer, Jason, in your time. 26 minutes.
Anyway, Akiva really. Sorry to cut into 26 minutes.
Derailed. Yeah.
No, circuses aren't fun. Circuses aren't good.
Mm-hmm.
We had someone on, didn't we? That was a circus performer. Didn't that happen?
Yes,
that was.
Yes, that was part of our. We talked about how much Akiva wanted to know. How much money in student loans did you have to pay for circus college?
That was a good question. That was a good question. Actually, we got it that way, I think, and I messed it up.
Yeah. Okay. Jason, so Phineas and Ferb wraps up in 2015. Is there any plans for any sort of reboot of the Phineas
and
Ferb?
They just had a movie this year.
Yeah.
They like just made a movie like very recently.
To Disney Plus?
It was probably Disney.
Did they
Channel
do something
2?
With Star Wars recently? I feel like I've seen that in my Apple TV menu.
I think that's correct.
Okay, be interesting to Akiva.
A Star Wars meets Phineas and Ferb. I mean, I like Phineas and Ferb more than Star Wars.
Okay.
Are there any like toys? Like, does that happen now? Is my question. Like these like crazed toy fads with your children. Like these like most popular.
Why was there a lot of merchandising for Phineas and Ferb?
No, I'm talking about for the Perry the Platypus toy. Oh. The in-action figure.
I don't know what it was this year, but my kids have definitely been into like a specific toy. They like LOL toy dolls or something like that. Mm-hmm. They like that. I don't know what the hot toys are now.
Oh, if you want, I did want to mention.
Quarantine Sally. I think that's big.
Quarantine Sally.
Yeah, Quarantine Sally.
That seems not fun. Mm-hmm. If you want to have nightmares tonight, look up the Phineas and Ferb. The Phineas and Ferb live shows. So they would put on these live shows where,
like a Disney on Ice type thing.
Sort of, but they're all, so they're all in costume, but it's all like Phineas and Ferb costumed people. It's nightmare fuel. It's awful. Like you should, they should never have done that. Yeah, it's really bad. It's really bad.
Okay.
It's like these people should not be in 3D, these characters. Or felt.
Yeah. Okay. Phineas and Ferb. Any other recommendations of a famous episode we should watch?
Yeah, I was gonna choose it. There's a really good episode where there's like a one-hit wonder band that Phineas and Ferb get back together for their mom and dad's anniversary. So it was like their mom and dad's favorite band called Love Handle. But they broke up and they like go to the three members of the band and like convince them to get the band back together. And those are like three of the best songs in the whole show. Ain't Got Rhythm is definitely the best song in the show where they're like trying to get the drummer back. Phenomenal, 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's a full episode. So that's why I kind of didn't want it. It's like the full 22 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which I thought was not representative.
Yeah.
Squirrels in My Pants is a big song.
Yes. Of course.
That, Lonely Island. Yeah. S.I.M.P. Squirrels in My Pants, where Candace gets some. She has squirrels in her pants. She sings a song about it. It's phenomenal. There's really good song. Like if you don't want to watch the show, and you just look up some like crazy Phineas and Ferb songs, that will entertain you for a while.
Okay. Some notable voice talent also in Phineas and Ferb. Ashley Tisdale.
Yes. A High School Musical that you will one day watch.
One day. Also,
maybe next week.
Caroline Ray.
I don't know who that is, but yeah. I believe you.
She's in a lot of things. She's to be
Caroline
talk show
the
host.
City.
I believe she's the mom on Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
Mm-hmm. She's not the cat.
In this episode that you watched, the CEO of the toy company was voiced by J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
Big star. Rob, if we were ranking the three shows, are we both going iCarly, Phineas and Ferb, and then
I don't think that should be part of Jason's time.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
Ranking is arbitrary and reductive.
Yeah. But I will tell Jason that he has about a minute of Phineas and Ferb.
And then we're going to rank the shows. And then
Phineas and Ferb is great, and you should all watch it. And it's a really fun show, and they get into some wacky adventures.
I like
theme song slaps. A lot of fun.
I think
songs.
My kids would like it. I'll show more of Phineas and Rob. I think your sons would like this show too.
I think they would like this show the best.
I know two children of your children's ages that do like Phineas and Ferb. I do think it like has
15-year-old Ella. They like him.
I do think it does have some staying power. Like I do think there are kids who watch Phineas and Ferb now. That's my Phineas.
You think nobody's watching Neds now? Is that what you're trying to say?
I don't think many people are watching Neds now. I think there's probably people watching iCarly now though. Like I don't know. That
show's
Black,
that's baby.
Yeah, we're coming back. All right, that's my spiel.
There we go. Perfect time. Are we gonna use that going forward, or is that
let's a one
see?
Let's see how the audience responds to it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I guess why don't we bring in our whole panel right now, and then we could do our rankings. But I think we're probably on the same page in terms of our 3-2-1.
I think so.
Yeah,
I sort of moved.
Yeah, are you moved?
I think I'm going to go Phineas and Ferb over iCarly.
Oh, okay. I'm going to give my three chizzy points to iCarly.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like that as somebody jumping in, I got the show instantly. I was able to follow everything that was going on. And again, it is the least absurd of the three shows. So I feel like that as a one episode viewer, iCarly made the most sense to me, and I was able to then, as somebody who was able to follow the show,
that I could then enjoy the humor that was in the show.
I love that the number one show out of the three, and you say it's the least absurdist, is about a 13-year-old girl with a show that reaches millions of people.
In fairness,
That could happen.
Well, like, take a look in your, you know, your namesake app. And there are many 13-year-old girls who
look
are international celebrities.
Look at the Cameo family or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of 13-year-olds.
Respect on their name. Yes.
Okay.
I see where you're coming from.
All right. Akiva, what was your number two show?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would have iCarly 2 and, sorry, Ned's 3.
Yeah, I would give my two points to Phineas and Ferb, and then, one chizzy point to Ned and his declassified
chizzy shirts.
School survival guide. Merch store.
I kind of figured Ned's was coming in last place, so I feel bad. Maybe I'll start the petition for season 3, episode 7 for Ned's, for somebody who could stump for it a little better than me, sadly.
So you're our Ned's guy, Zach, that's for sure.
I wasn't the best Ned head, I'll be honest. It's tough. It's a tough walnut to crack.
Is it a Ned head or a coconut head?
Oh, good question.
Oh, there you go. Because Avatar, I'll be honest, it's another Nickelodeon show. It's animated, much easier to podcast about than Ned's. Ned's, I'll struggle in how to navigate this. I like this episode in particular because they deal with mental health well, and I like the absurdist humor of the overall show. But Ned's a tough walnut to crack for a podcast.
Rob, if we're ranking Nicole, JCR, and Zach, tie for first, right?
They're all three-way tie for first. And Zach, any consolation, the Twitter response will be like, Zach, you're right that Rob and Akiva are boomers. They don't even get
a lot
Ned.
Of people will say that it's not a Gen Z show, like it's a millennial.
I already got both of those things. You guys are correct, but I don't know, as somebody who's like kind of homies,
people
with you guys,
already called us boomers and the show didn't even air yet.
I mean, people call you guys boomers regardless of what you do is my overall point. But
I still didn't like the platypus. I'll tell you that.
I know. That's what you're going to get the most heat
for. The platypus
for,
was trash.
That was your most fire take.
That's going to be you.
You're going to get crapped on for that. I already know. I can see the tweets already being written. But for me, I just wish I was a better stuffer then because I wanted you guys to like it. Like, I want you to like Ned just for you, not for the podcast be damned. I was hoping y'all would enjoy Ned a little more, but what can you do? Some shows just don't appeal to everybody.
What can you do? It's all good. I'll tell you what we can do. We can go to the patented Robin Akiva Need a Podcast mailbag to hear about new ideas and things that are going to be coming up in episode number 121 of Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. Akiva, anything else you want to say during Gen Z shows are trash?
No, let's go to the other side.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with this week's mailbag. Yes, that's right. Mailbag number 120. Our Gen Z panel is here to help us go through the mailbag. And let me pitch this to our Gen Z panelists of something that I want to do. I have been very excited this week that I have been all over the brand new app Clubhouse. I'm trying to get Uncle Kiwi to jump on, but he won't get an iPhone. And I've just been talking to people left and right. I'm having so much fun on Clubhouse. And I would like to do an all Clubhouse mailbag soon where I want to hook the Clubhouse app into the mixer and then let our listeners know, hey, pitch your ideas. Talk to us on Clubhouse. If you don't know what Clubhouse is, it's an app that's all voice only. You go into rooms, you can hear people talk, they can ask questions, raise their hand, come up to the stage. It's all voice. There's no DMs. And that's it. No pictures, no video. It's audio only. And I love it so much. I'm on there all the time. Akiva, what do you think about the Clubhouse mailbag?
I really like it. Are enough people on Clubhouse yet? I know it's the app that's blowing up this year. Are enough people on Clubhouse yet that we would actually get questions versus
yeet.
What other than the fact that you like Clubhouse and you want to be first there, which is fine, why is it better than just like Zoom or StreamYard?
Because it's new. It's exciting. Nobody's done this before.
But Rob, that's bad logic because what if it feels dated? What if it feels very dated? Like, if it'll probably be a fun mailbag, but like, what if somebody's listening to an old Renap episode on a binge and then two months later,
that would be
nobody's
perfect.
Using
Clubhouse? That's ideal. That's like, remember Clubhouse? Yeah.
Yeah, but like that's true. But like TikTok had more staying power. So I feel like whenever you guys did the TikTok bracket, I was like, I'll listen to this in a year. People will still be TikToking. So
yeah. Well, I think that the idea is that people could come along that don't even know from Robin and Kiva Need a Podcast. Who knows?
That's
what
true.
We'll find.
That's true. That's a good point. So I don't know. I say go through with it.
Are overall, randos that's stumbling into your?
Yes.
They are. Oh, okay.
Sure. Interesting. Sure, then people. That seems interesting. What's Robin Keeney a podcast? That might be interesting. Think of it like a live show, and people are just walking in. Like, hey, what's this?
Okay, I like that. I think that happened in Minnesota, so I'm up for that.
Yeah. So it's I'm telling you that I love Clubhouse. It's the closest that I'm getting to like when I would go and just talk to people at the live shows. We should do a live show on. I'm also thinking about doing a Clubhouse of Punch Up Your Pitch. For the mailbag on Clubhouse. Also,
all right.
I want to do another Renap X on Clubhouse. Get Kelly. Let's set up a day of all the rejected Renap X seminars.
All right, I'm up for it. We could be all Clubhouse all the time.
Yeah,
I'm
okay. Hold on. Nicole has a thought.
Like, you know how you can get Zoom bombed? Can you just get Clubhouse bombed? Like,
yes, it's all Zoom bombs. It's all Zoom bombs.
So the chaos is part of the strategy. I was worried. I was like, oh, Clubhouse, that just sounds like one big phone call.
To be honest, I know what Clubhouse is vaguely because I saw rapper 21 Savage was doing a Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. But apparently I see all these business people like Rob. I mean, he's a pretty business savvy guy. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's why he's so passionate. Rob, your Clubhouse to you is like Ned's for me, apparently. I can tell you're itching to do this mailbag.
Yes, I'm going
to
make my Clubhouse Declassified Survival Guide. That's going to be the name of my next Clubhouse. Rob,
Declassified. I was kind of iffy on this, but after seeing the shine in Rob's eyes, now I'm kind of curious. I want to see what Rob does
Declassified,
with the Clubhouse.
Clubhouse Survival Guide.
Yeah, no, I'm down. I say the Clubhouse mailbag's a good idea. Like, bring that up. There you go.
Okay. Give it the day. All right.
So, like, new randos could come in, and we could give them the mic and be like, we're going to explain the podcast in 10 seconds, and you have to pitch us an idea.
Don't even explain it first.
Yeah, random. If somebody wants to raise their hand, and then we say, "All right, what's your idea for the wheel?" And if it's lame, we'll just hang up on them.
Akiva's right; it could go south, but it's not live. No.
If it's good, it's good. And if it's bad, it's good. Either way,
Rob
it'll be good.
Rob seems confident in like his ability to interact with the randos and make it work for
the
mailbag.
We'll do crowd work, Akiva. Yeah, this is one of your talents.
I'm Team Rob here. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. So if Akiva doesn't want to do it, that's fine. But I want to listen to this.
Akiva, what we struggle with is when it's like people that we know, and then they're coming on to pitch us like Shark Tank ideas. It's like, all right, we don't want to run them because we like this person. But if it's strangers and they've got trash, we'll just hang up on them.
Oh, awesome. Okay. I'm up for
that. See, us Gen Zers, we're not like you older people. We're tough. You can criticize our ideas. I mean, if I have a horrible idea, poo-poo on it, I ain't going to get mad. TikTok Nicole ain't going to get mad if you say her idea is bad. JCR, Lord knows. I mean, the musical was an amazing podcast. I don't know if JCR has bad ideas. I think this podcast was his idea too. My little blip aside, amazing podcast.
Hold on. So you're saying that the younger listeners, that they take the rejection better than older listeners?
Oh, really? Oh, man. Maybe my bad. I thought too highly of Nicole. My bad. I'm sorry. Sorry,
Robin
Nicole.
Akiva rejected Psych Season 3, Episode 7 so bad that I cried myself and made Amanda do a podcast.
I love Dr. Amanda, but I mean, the same thing happened to me. They didn't want to do Avatar on this, and I was like, well, screw it. Hang in there. And I'm very happy I did that. So
okay. You create spite podcasts every time
exactly,
they reject
exactly.
Their
and the spite podcast, and you know what? I like the spite podcast because look at this. I didn't even watch Psych, and I listen to a couple episodes because I just want to hear JCR and Dr. Amanda banter. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what Psych is like going into it. I saw like one episode prior.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Akiva, what do you have in the mailbag proper?
Okay, so last week we didn't do a mailbag. Mailbag very full. We'll get to some ideas this week. Let's start off with this. Rob and Akiva go backwards from Mark with a C. You like Mark with a C better or Mark with a K better?
I'm a big Mark with a K guy.
Oh, I'm Mark with a C guy. Interesting.
I feel like you should usually start Mark with an M.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give
Zach the M signal.
There you go. Because I like that episode, but I guess what can you do? I'm glad you called it back now. The little Albert signal. I get it, Rob. Deep cut.
What do you think about that for the census? Mark with a C versus Mark with a K.
But on the census,
Mark with a K wins by like 70 to 30%.
Think about the census. If something is like not that interesting, it's just you're like, okay, Mark with a C or Mark with a K. 62-38. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
All right.
Okay. So he says the best episode of Seinfeld podcast is famously the backwards episode. He says he thinks it could work well on an app.
Is that famously the best episode? I don't recall at the time where people said that was famously the best episode.
I have no idea. It's his opinion.
Okay.
He says he thinks it could work well on Renap, in particular when we do a bracket. He says, so you do pre-planning, and then the episode would start with the closing song, then announce what wins. You then spin the wheel and do the mailbag. Then you do the bracket starting off with the finals and working backwards to the first round. The ending of the episode will be the intros and the opening song.
Everybody's going to hate this idea.
Yeah. And also, we'd have to be spoiled beforehand.
Everybody's going to hate it.
I mean, it's funny, but yeah, I think it's
just I don't hate the idea of like, all right, winner of the bracket, lasagna. And then you work backwards, but we never know what the bracket is.
That's not bad. We don't even say what the bracket
is. I think that's funny, but I don't think that's a podcast.
No.
Variety pack, because that's a funny little idea. So maybe save that like one little bracket for the variety pack, I think. Because I like JCR's retooling of that. That's good.
Could we potentially not record it out of order? But could we like in reverse engineer a bracket and then we find out what the thing is, like hypothetically?
Lasagna cheese won. Versus glasses.
and then it's just like, well, what are they talking about?
What did lasagna beat to win the bracket? Like, I don't know. Are we doing like, are we going to do pasta? Are we going to do casseroles?
Yeah, and then you guess along as you're listening. It's like,
well, we'd be making it up on the fly. You'd be listening to us try to figure out how do we make a bracket where lasagna is the winner?
Oh, so you're doing it out of order?
Yeah,
I was under the assumption
you know silent G words.
Yeah.
This episode idea is a little convoluted.
Put it on the wheel.
Yeah.
Okay, Rob. Here's a crappy movie diaper idea. We haven't put a movie in the crappy movie diaper for a little while. Sarah says this movie's called Catch That Kid. The Renapbot suggested...
Not Catch That Bird?
Catch That Kid, K-I-D. Well, it's talking about a goat, I think. No, the Renapbot suggested adding it. You know, the Renapbot nowadays pitches a lot of movies for the crappy movie diaper and the season 3, episode 7, Fishbowl. So he says... Catch That Kid is a ridiculous teenage heist movie where Kristen Stewart, I think it's Kirsten, not sure, and her two best friends rob a bank to pay for Kristen's dad's incredibly expensive surgery. The movie has everything. Kids successfully hacking into bank security systems, the OG Kristen Stewart love triangle, and lots of go-karting. There's a 13% in Rotten Tomatoes and clocks in at a cool 92 minutes to quote critic Richard Roper, this thing is so silly and so ridiculous.
No. This is going to be a thing that we're going to put it in the crappy movie diaper. And then 3 weeks from now, the crappy movie diaper is going to come up. And we're going to say, what is that movie? What is this?
Why did we put this in?
Why is this in there?
What did past Keeve and Rob do? And why
TikTok
did they hate
Nicole,
us so much?
Can you tell us, should we put Catch That Kid into the crappy movie diaper?
Is this even a real movie? Did the Renapbot come up with this movie?
I always wonder if the Renapbot is making up these movies.
Yeah, like Kristen Stewart, like we know her for Twilight. I don't recall seeing her in a Catch That Kid. I personally would maybe not listen to this one. It doesn't really sound like it would be enticing.
I've seen this movie.
Is it good for the podcast?
I don't. So it's Kristen Stewart and Corbin Bleu is in it.
Okay.
Whoa, he was on Ned's Disney show. That's a Gen Z like icon, Corbin Bleu.
I don't remember it, but I feel like it's like one of these like Agent Cody Banks, like just like kids doing heist movies.
See, I don't know if that would be good for the podcast. I like Agent Cody Banks, so I would listen to that podcast myself, like even though I've never seen the movie.
I don't think it's bad enough or funny, funnily bad enough for the podcast.
Okay.
Sorry, right. Mark.
That's a pass.
Mm-hmm. All right. One more bad movie while we're in the crappy movie diaper section of the mailbag. This is from Chris, and he says, it's The Legend of the Titanic. This animated take on the singing of the infamous Titanic results in a cartoon of the most convoluted proportions that no adult or child could follow. Nobody would believe you if you told them that the singing of the Titanic was directly because of an octopus that was tricked by treacherous sharks to throw an iceberg in the way the Titanic? Well, this Italian animated film, dubbed poorly in English, says otherwise. The movie loosely follows the 1997 James Cameron film with a woman trapped in an engagement she doesn't want while falling in love with a person that she says five or less sentences throughout the movie. Meanwhile, rats are boarding the ship as well, and two rats help the woman find her true love on the ship with assistance from the man's dog. I didn't make it through.
The whole movie was on YouTube.
Save it for the Punishment Council. If we screw up, if we make a mistake, we have to watch the Italian Titanic, dubbed in English cartoon.
Did you guys talk about this on the podcast before? Because this movie has a cult following. I've never seen it, but I like when you guys podcast about stuff I would never
familiar.
Watch. Because then I don't have it. Because it sounds familiar to me too, but I know
maybe I forgot to delete it, but I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. No. Maybe some other podcast I listened to talked about it. But
yeah, there was another one where they spin a wheel and they pick listener ideas.
No. I listen to other podcasts besides this.
This is from Garrett.
I do not.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jason.
Oh,
yes.
The rip.
This is from Garrett, and this comes in the last day. He says, "My idea is Robin Kiva bust myths or become mythbusters. Dr. Liana Baris of Science will present Robin Akiva with unusual or outrageous scientific facts, and they will have to guess whether it is fact or fiction. It could be a game of Rob versus Akiva, or you could work together afterwards. You can discuss with Liana the science behind it. Note, I ran this idea by Liana. She said, go away and never talk to me again. I'm kidding. She said she liked it and said she is on board.
Yeah.
I'll be happy
if Liana's on board, ring the bell, I say, personally, because that's a good idea.
I think that's a check with Liana. She always has a lot going on. So if she's up for it, you know, basically.
I mean, he said he ran it by her and she liked it and said she's on board.
Let's also run it by her. Not to doubt Garrett, the emailer, but sometimes, you know, people are just being nice. So let's double check.
Never
put it at the top of the wheel waiting room in that case, but like, I mean, Liana on any related podcast, Liana's a very good Renap guest. I think the Liana Mike Bloom Choose Your Own Adventure, that was one of the best Renap episodes. So, I mean, inject any podcast with Liana into my veins, I'll take it.
A question, I see that it's a podcast for busting myths. Is that a whole podcast? Like, how interesting are science facts? Like, do I have to wait to be proven?
Is science interesting? That's a good question.
Yeah. There was also like nine seasons of a television show that already did all that, right? Like, I feel like, are we getting anything new? Are we watching Mythbusters?
Probably not, but I've never watched an episode of Mythbusters, but I think as a Rob as a podcast fan, I would tune into Rob, Akiva, and Liana busting myths.
If Liana thinks there's enough there, we can do it. If she thinks it's a reach, then we shouldn't.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I say keep it like top of wheel waiting room for now for that reason until you get Liana's like confirmation. Just when Rob shoots her a DM eventually, you'll know if this is like good for the wheel or not.
Season 3, episode 7, The Crocodile Hunter, Adam from LA says.
Too soon.
Okay. Yeah.
I love The Crocodile Hunter, but it's always too soon.
Rest how many, how many what, 20 Irwin. Years after Steve Irwin's gone, we can do it? Is that what we said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Robin Akiva travel through time. Do we want to travel through time?
How so?
Well, he says we'd watch Back to the Future. Has Akiva seen it? It's pre-1990. I famously don't watch movies from
You've seen Back to the Future. You wanted to reboot it with Ansel Elgort.
Yeah, Ansel Elgort. I think he might be
Canceled.
We should go back in time and take that retroactively.
Yeah, sorry. If there was like a different time, I like time travel stuff, but I've already seen that movie. A Wheel Mechanism, Rob. It's from Tzvi. He's gotten a lot of ideas on the wheel in the past.
Mm-hmm.
He says, resubmitting based on the feedback I got from 32 fans, patrons, inspired by Ali Lasher's suggestion of a spin again spot. That must have been an old suggestion on the wheel. I'm pitching a bankrupt spot, Svi says. If the wheel comes up on bankrupt, it's one spot until it gets picked. The whole wheel gets erased and is replaced by a full wheel of every suggestion that's read in that week's mailbag. The wheel could turn into three spots or six spots, whatever. Basically, it add stakes to every idea I read, because every idea I read might be on that week's wheel.
So,
if the banker's back.
In the past, you and I have talked about the idea of, I have said that is there like, should there be like a bankrupt type spot, which is like no show next week of like to give the wheel stakes. But why would we want something that would throw out all of the good ideas I have or that we have on the wheel?
Just for a week, not forever.
Oh, and then we'd have
that week it would, the whole wheel would be replaced by everything we'd read up until that point, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically the same thing.
We might have to watch the Italian Titanic one. So there's more stakes to everything I read.
It's basically the same thing as the like go into the discarded pile and random number generator.
A little bit.
But
so it's not bankrupt. It's more of like pick one of this week's rejected ideas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's interesting.
I feel like it's a less good version of a thing we've already done.
So I feel like we also, should just like, do why the are thing we punishing did. Ourselves? Like
that's a good point.
We might have to watch the Italian Titanic or some movie we don't care about. Why is that funny ultimately?
No, I agree with Akiva. I think this is a big thing in RNAP where it's like some people, not me, they like to see bad things that, or like they like you guys watching stuff you don't like. I think that doesn't make for good podcasting.
Wait, aren't you the guy that made us watch Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide?
That's you're right. Oh, shots fired at Ned's. My bad. I knew you were going to like it. Now I hope the coconut heads bring the pitchforks. I knew you were going to say that, but my point is I made you watch 20 minutes. I didn't make you watch 2 hours.
That's true.
Oi, oi, order. But yeah, there you go.
We also have this pitch, which is by a different Jason. Jason from Nashville, not Jason from Jersey,
I think.
That's correct.
Which is called Closing Song. He says, now the show has so many bangers, I feel like we need a wheel spin or something to determine what song closes the show. Should it be the Perfect Strangers theme? The original RNAP theme? RNAP the musical? Chester Sing Men
in
Black?
What about once a month? Start of the month.
Yeah. What's that?
Closing song for the month.
I thought, because we do have closing. What has been the closing song been recently? I know what the opening song is because we play it.
It's been the sea shanty, right?
It's been the sea shanty recently.
Yeah, I think it's for a lot.
I think it was the Jason Harris Rivera sea shanty has been the last.
We have
months.
A song of the summer. We really have 6 or 7 entrenched songs at this point.
I mean, yeah, the Chester Men in Black was the closing
Men in
song
Black,
for,
that was a long time.
For a long time. It used to be, the Perfect Strangers.
Honestly, the Chester Men in Black might be one of the funniest moments in the show's history. I didn't even know it was Chester for the longest time until I think I missed that episode and I re-listened because that was too funny. Him, like the reveal of him rapping, here comes the man. It's like a high-pitched voice.
So I don't know. I have no opinion. What should this month be, Rob?
The question was to do a wheel spin. Let's defer to our musical correspondent, Jason, who's here.
What do you think it should be right now?
Well, I just think it should always be me, right? Like, isn't that right? I should just always be the outro to the podcast, whether it be the musical,
curated.
The sea shanty. No, I don't mind a wheel spin. A wheel spin at the start of the month. Are you going to remember to do that?
You know what? No. Let's not make a call on this. Let's let Reddit talk this through.
Yeah, they always agree and come to a decision.
No, but sometimes they bring up a good point in a discussion, rather than make a rash decision right now.
Well, Rob, I'm not you or Akiva, but what I would do here, let Jason pick, if you're going to do a wheel, let him pick the options on the wheel. Because, Jason's a musical genius, but, I don't know, maybe there's some other random Rob has a podcast correspondent that also might be, we can't just have a full JCR wheel, but let JCR be, because I see the guitar in the background. I know he knows the music, so let him, let him be in charge.
Yeah.
Just Will is in charge of the wheel waiting room.
If it's me... I would probably defer to a shorter ending song that I don't really love ending the podcast with a full song. I mean, isn't 32 fans?
Yeah, why don't you do a bracket where listeners send in 30-second intros? You and Akiva or Randy Newpole listen to it.
Randy Jackson.
Randy Newpole or Randy Jackson?
Randy Jackson.
My bad. What about a music show where the panel is Randy Newpole and Randy Jackson?
Facts. There you go. But that's a good bracket for March, I think. I'm not the biggest bracket guy, if I'm being honest, but I would listen to a bracket for outro.
Perfect timing. Because we are almost at bracket season.
No, because you guys have a good bracket podcast. Sit on that for March, maybe.
I feel like what I've seen from Reddit is they don't I feel like they're never going to agree on something. So I feel like a rotating system is going to appease the most people. So
yeah, the wheel. They love the wheel in RNAP, I feel like. So that's
all right. So talking about brackets, so we have a few things that, next week is not a bracket wheel spin, but the week after that will be a wheel spin with the brackets involved, Rob. So far what we have for the brackets is the sequel to the TV theme song bracket, which people seem to be into that idea.
And you said Chappelle was going to be on that.
Chappelle's going to come on for that, I believe. We have the pet peeve bracket, if it's a bracket. We're not sure yet. We also, I didn't realize this. Someone pointed out, we had a complaint bracket that we talked about last year that didn't make it into the bracket season.
Yep.
And what was that? Refresh the memory on the complaint bracket?
I have no idea. It just says complaint bracket.
It's things that Akiva complained about.
Well, that's a little bit. So maybe that is.
I think it was recurring Rob complaints on one side of the bracket and recurring Akiva complaints on the other side of the bracket. And then that complaint was going to be retired from all future podcasts.
Got it.
That was an Akiva idea, and it was a good idea. Akiva created that. I remember now. That was a good idea. I don't know why you guys didn't do anything with it.
The other one was the jingle bracket. We wanted to have companies like commercial jingles.
Yeah, I don't know if there was enough there. That was my idea, but I don't know if there was enough stuff.
To me, the jingle bracket's the distant third. I think I like the outros, and then Chappelle, he's amazing on anything. So you put him on a TV show bracket. I don't know any TV shows. I'll still listen. I'll listen to anything. Mm-hmm.
All right, do before we spin the wheel, do any of our panelists have pitches for us today?
I got nothing.
I don't got anything. Is there anything you want to rapid fire retool? I could help.
Anyone want to rap? I was going to be like,
I'm not going to rap. I'm not going to rap, but I love that rap battle idea. I still, to this day, I like wonder. Well, it's like Brandon Jennings in the dunk contest. Like, what dunk would he have done? What would Josh Wiggler and Chester?
It's exactly like Brandon Jennings in the dunk contest.
Yeah, because I'm like, what would Josh and Chester be rapping against each other about? Because that was exactly.
Sound good,
and that's just too funny. Like even if it's a bad podcast, that would just pay up.
Jason, do you think you could work that into the sequel?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. We'll save it for the next musical. I'll work on it.
Is there going to be a second musical?
I've been thinking about it. I have a couple of like ideas. I just the story needs to come to me.
Yeah.
The story,
sure, has to come to you in a dream, ideally.
Yeah, Jason, what would be the follow up to the musical? Would it be another? Because I feel like that in that genre. And stop me if I'm wrong about this. I feel like that there are not really sequels in the musical other than High School Musical.
They never do well. So there's a couple of like there's like an Annie sequel, and it's just like never performed. Because why would you do Annie 2 when you can just perform Annie the first one? So they never do super well. So it's not. It's not super common. I feel like plays more often will have like second parts to them more than musicals do.
Okay. All right. You want to hear about what's on the wheel?
I do. Okay. Please.
All right. Season 3, episode 7. Akiva, has it been a minute since I guess Boy Meets World was the last one.
Yeah, we did one recently.
Yeah. Okay. The coin flip is out there. The crappy movie diaper, People's Choice. Price is Right is out there. You Are a Shark Week. Spinoffs are trash. Rob and Akiva have already invented a game show. That we have the sequel mechanism, Match Game, which I believe is Quicksand, right?
Yes, 47 days, according to the Quicksand.
Why do you guys quicksand everything? Because that podcast last week was so good.
Like, it quicksanded exactly two things. I know,
but my point is, it's like, I don't know. I don't like the quicksand mechanic personally, because it's like, what if it's good? Like, I know you're quicksanding iffy ideas.
Well, it could come back. Hey. It's just gone for 6 months.
Six months is a long time. I would have been disappointed.
This show is in quicksand. We got to keep moving.
Okay. Peace out. Bail back.
Okay. All right. So, HGTV shows are trash.
I was wondering about this. Should there be like a similarity clause where that's too similar to this week and should be off the wheel for a week?
I think people would say we have to use a veto.
Oh. Because those two are trash, right? There's HGTV shows are trash. And there is, what's the other are trash that's on the wheel?
Spinoffs are trash.
Oh, it's spinoff shows are trash. So we have two, you know, we have a real decent chance of having a squeakle next week. I don't know.
Yeah.
To be fair, this isn't an R trash episode. This is an R trash ?
Question mark. That is
okay.
True.
Very different.
Robert, can you get tracked? Best week ever. The podcast power hour. Should the Jason Curtis Rivera's psych podcast be in the podcast power hour?
With his best friend, Dr. Manny Rabinowitz?
In the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys want to gas them up, sure, but the appeal to podcast power, I want to hear you guys like crap on bad podcasts.
Yeah, okay. We'll have to be too nice. I agree.
Oh, I know, because that's the appeal for me in general. Mm-hmm. I want to hear you guys like
I want to make Amanda cry.
Mm-hmm. I mean, poor
You could do that.
Yeah, I don't give any of the bad Jason feedback Pride. To Amanda. I weed it all out so she doesn't have to hear it.
Okay, so that's a point in favor of the Gen Zers being able to handle the bad feedback as opposed to Gen Xers.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Are you calling Amanda a Gen Xer?
I mean, though, that what you call her a millennial?
I believe she identifies as millennial.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm the world's oldest millennial. She's older than me, so I'm not sure that tracks, but whatever.
Yeah. We're not talking about Amanda.
You're not going to be a best friend anymore if we get too deep into her age on this podcast.
I will respect that. She's a millennial doctor, Amanda Rabinowitz. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then Sex and a Kiwi, the core four.
Oh boy.
Is there.
Oh boy.
High School Musical. and guest choice.
Guest. Oh, yeah. We're going to have a fight to the death here between our trio.
Yeah, that would be how wild here.
I'll defer to you guys. If you want a choice, feel free.
All right, let's let it come up first.
I want to fight. Let's go.
Let's fight.
Put a ladder match for what's on the wheel. All right. So let's go ahead and let's bring up the wheel for episode number 121. Here we go. Let's spin away. Episode 121. What will it be? And, this is a good one. Best week ever. All right.
Ooh, okay. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, I believe that was a Chappelle idea where next weekend we were going to get together and talk about all of the biggest pop culture stories that occur between the dropping of this episode and episode number 121 next week. And we will talk about it here on the podcast.
Can we have like an idea, like a title bar, like they have on some countdown shows, like on PTI?
Sure. What, you want to do it live?
Do you have the tech for that? Yeah. Well, we don't have to. We can do it live, but we could tape it either way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, all right, first we're talking about Rihanna, and then like next is like
if you want to do it. If you want to do it like a PTI, I think we probably can do that.
Yeah, that would be fun. I think try something new, put it on video.
Okay. What would be the top five or six stories from the week? If the listeners have things they want us to make sure we hit, please be sure to let us know on Twitter as news develops all week long. So we're looking for the biggest pop culture stories of
So it's like News AF,
week.
But pop culture and not weird, not news, wacky news.
Like on News AF, we don't really talk about like celebrity stories or anything like that.
It's News AF with Chappelle, and that's podcast gold. I mean, you could literally shove Chappelle on with like Tyson, Danny, and Rob. I'd listen to that too. So it's like, this is a good idea.
This week we would have talked about Britney. We would have talked about what was that? What else was popping in the news this week?
I mean, Britney was the biggest. I saw Chappelle tweet about Britney. I know that's what he'd want to talk about for sure.
Real Housewives of St. Louis, the Salt Lake City, whatever.
Yeah.
What else was big?
Okay.
How big is Real Housewives of St. Louis this week?
Salt Lake City.
Yeah. It's very big.
No, it was a whole New Yorker. I read a long New Yorker article about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
I know
they all seem irredeemable.
Put respect on Miriam Cosby.
I'll take your guys' word for it. Now I'm kind
of curious. Is she a housewife? I guess we'll find out.
All right.
True.
So that's what's coming up. Episode number 121. All right. Panel. Let's hear about what else is going on. Let's start with the woman that got us started today. It's Nicole.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to grace both of your presences. And I'm glad I was able to share the gospel of iCarly.
Yes. Okay. Of course, Nicole, she's at Behind the Secret. Anything you have fun coming up this week, Nicole?
Not particularly. Hopefully I go to physical therapy, strengthen up that ACL, and I'll be doing backflips before we know it.
Okay.
Could you do backflips before the ACL, or is this like you're going to be healed so well now you can do backflips?
No, I was one of those kids that if you put me on a trampoline, I'm surprised I don't have any broken bones in my spine from the types of tricks I was pulling. But yes, backflips will be back there soon.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. Let's go to Third Wheel Zach. Third Wheel Zach, that he's going to be back at it with Jacob. Oh, Akiva's biggest stan over on Aang in there. Fifth Wheel Navi is scheduled to appear. What else is going on?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, we've got some big, but I'll chill Aang in there a little bit because one thing I want to say about it is with me and Jacob, you don't need to watch Avatar to listen to our podcast, to be honest. It's just two guys having a good time. To be honest, I don't know. I kind of sold Ned's a little short, but I'm kind of, in a way, I'm happy. My segment was 20 minutes because this is like a 3-hour podcast. This was a good podcast. So just like, Renap and Aang in there have the same appeal. So if you want a fun time on Wednesday, come listen to me, Navi, and Jacob. Just have a grand old time on Aang in there, because that's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. I'm excited to get into the Blind Bandit. So yeah, that's all for me. You know where to find me on Twitter. The usual, same old. I tweet sometimes, not too much, but
okay,
there we go.
And Jason Curtis Rivera. What happened to the three-name bracket? What happened to that?
Yeah, that should be there, and I love a three.
Oh yeah, that's another one too. Yeah, you know what? Will from America falling down on the job again, not in the wheel waiting room. That's another one.
You're throwing
one
Will from America under the bus.
No, I'm teasing. I do think in my heart of hearts that might be a 32 fans idea. I think we might get 5 minutes in.
I'll keep.
We're going to get 5 minutes in, and you're going to be like, "This is a 32 fans idea." I know you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you really excited about it? I'm happy to do it. It's a good idea.
I think it's one of the better ideas.
For bracket season? Okay. Do you have someone you're rooting for the three-name bracket?
No, I think bring them up.
My issue with that is, like, what did JCR just sweep? Who's more? Is, like, Will from America eligible
for this? No, I don't think it'll be people we know. It'll be...
I don't think Will from America counts as a three-name person.
Okay, there we go.
Like, Rob from L.A. Oh, he's three names. He's
Well, you guys have Dave Math. You guys
have
Dave Math.
Andre the Giant. I don't think it is, like,
eligible. That is three names. Oh, no.
I mean, I wouldn't Megan have Dave Matthews Stallion, in the Matthew perhaps. Bracket.
Yeah,
but you guys,
yeah, because I don't know her last name. I don't know her legal name.
True.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Well, we could talk about it next week on Best Week Ever if she's in the news.
Mm-hmm.
What is Megan Stallion? Anybody else? Anybody else with stuff to plug?
I was interrupted in my plug.
Oh, sorry.
You unplugged him.
I'm doing Twitch, twitch.tv/JasonCurtisR every day at 8 p.m.
Every single day, 8 p.m.
Hear that, Kirsten? Even every day this guy twitches.
Wait, you're making me late.
I was going to say, isn't it 8 p.m. right now?
You're making me late. And Amanda Rabinowitz's son watches me every day and he misses me right now. At JasonCurtisR, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. My TikTok is gold.
You are a very prolific TikToker as well.
Thank you. I learned it all from Nicole. IKYDK.com is the great Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz and I.
Yeah, I think you got to slow down on the plug of the website. It's not exactly iCarly.com.
It's IKYDK.com for I Know You Don't Know. We just finished season one. We got an AI built for us by Dan Schiffman.
Wow.
We went crazy. Lots of fun.
What does it do?
You can put a picture in and it detects whether or not there's a pineapple in the picture.
Hmm. Ooh, that's
the Pine AI poll. So that's the nonsense we're getting into over on IKYDK.
Are pineapples a big plot point on Psych?
There's a pineapple in every episode.
Oh. Okay, who knew?
Yeah, it's like a hidden pineapple.
It's like Bear and New Girl, but I'm not interested in that.
Yeah.
Bear or beer?
Bear.
Some people pronounce them the same.
That's what I'm up to.
Yeah, okay. All right. And of course, Uncle Kiwi, what do you have going on?
So football season's over. So on 32 Fans, we did... on the Patreon feed, we did a presidential basketball draft.
Yes, I listened to that. That was good.
Presidential historian on, and we all three of us drafted the 45 presidents onto basketball teams, but we drafted them as they came into office. So not like Obama as a college player in Hawaii or whatever. It was him, it was him at 45 or whatever.
Can you spoil who went number one? Because I ain't a 32 fans patron, but kind of curious.
I don't remember.
Give us a high draft.
Yeah, I don't remember who you think should go number one. Yeah.
I think it was Obama.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It went by their ages. So like, you'd have to draft Biden at 78, you know?
Yeah, no, and Trump would be super low on the list, of course.
Let's just say he didn't go fast.
Yeah, I thought that was a little too much. Like, you don't have to say, like, we know you're not endorsing them politically for
I did say that a lot.
They did say that every single pick is like, I am not a fan of this president. Make that clear.
We're like, all right, you're not going to be canceled for your John Quincy Adams take, sir. I think that's the president's name. Anyway, and then on NGOG, we finished the season. Season one finale this week. We do take a break between every season where we watch a movie, Rob, from every One movie from every, you know, main person in the cast. So we're watching a movie this week starring, I think, Jake Johnson. It's his movie. But and then we'll be back for season two, episode one next week.
Okay. All right. Sounds like a plan. Okay. Check that out. Follow Akiva on Twitter. He is at Keeve26. And follow me on Clubhouse. That's the only thing I'm going to plug. I'm going to be on there, and I'm talking to randos on Clubhouse.
Should we make next week the Clubhouse mailbag?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to have the setup.
Okay, let us know.
I will be working on the tech side of it, because I have to, like, I feel like I may need to, like, get a iPad just for being able to do that, because I'm worried that if I get a phone call, is that going to end the podcast?
Aha. I got to
play around with it. But
interesting.
I'm very excited. I've got a dongle on the way from Amazon.
I've never heard you this excited.
I'm like third wheel Zach coming on to the podcast.
Are you the CEO of Clubhouse?
No. But I love the idea of, like, the thing about Clubhouse is that it's like that people say it's like listening to a podcast, but you're able to, like, you know, jump in and say something.
Okay, that's exciting.
Yeah,
I'm up for it. I'm excited to be.
I don't
first
know if you know this about me. I'm a guy who makes a lot of podcasts. I feel like that this is an exciting
that's
technology.
That's the one thing I know about you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There we go. By the way, we just kicked off year 11 of Rob Has a Podcast.
Well, I think technically you kicked off year 12.
So this is what I wanted to ask you. Next year, will you help us throw a Rob Has a Podcast pod mitzvah?
Well, your 13th year doesn't mean it's your bar mitzvah, so it really wouldn't
so
be till 2 years from today.
I just said it was 11, and you said, no, it's 12. So which
it's
is it?
It's the 12th year, but you're 11 years old. So how about this? Why is your podcast have a male podcast? Maybe this is a female podcast, and we'll celebrate its bat mitzvah next year.
A pot mitzvah?
A pot mitzvah. So it's 12 instead of 13. What do you think about that?
I don't know. You figure it out. I feel like that.
I'll get all the Jews on the case.
Yeah, we'll see. Let me know. I turn it over to that our Jewish committee of Robin's podcast.
Whoa. Okay. Fine.
Okay. All right. You let us know.
To make
all
Jewish
right.
committee.
And Jason Curtis Rivera. What are we going to end? What are we going to end with?
We should end with the same thing we ended with last week, right? We don't want to make any rash decisions. So we
all
should
right.
do the
sea shanty.
The shanty.
All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
There once was a pair of guys, and they podcast Seinfeld every day. They needed a new pod to do, and Soren Apple was born.
Rob and Akiva need a podcast you just can't believe. We come back every week to see what the wheel will do.
The wheel will spin and you never know what next week we'll have in tow. But Rob and Akiva have to go and do what the wheel says.
Rob and Akiva need a podcast you just can't believe. We come back every week to see what the wheel will do. Huh!